latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. For the first time, the Dow broke 15,000 earlier today. The S&P cracked 1,600. This after a better-than-expected jobs report for April. Employers added 165,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate fell 7.5%.
Main Street and Wall Street. The jobs report from the Labor Department was treated as good news.
This was a stunningly strong report.
Civil Orlando, Federated Investors, says the creation of more jobs is expected as a plus to the economy. Comes at disappointment last month.
The key element of this report was the conditions from February and March, particularly March,
the stock market surged.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who are supposed to be preaching are no TV. Oh, but
WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
You know, I'm going to tell you, it's 9 minutes after 12 noon here on Friday, the 3rd of May. I hope you're having a great weekend. My listeners send me over music that I've never listened to in my life. You know who this is, yeah? I like Rod Stewart. They're gonna make people think that I am very musically inclined.
Yeah, well, that's good. Who is this? Oh, that's Zeppelin, yeah.
Okay. And I appreciate them more now than I did when I was younger.
Billion.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I just thought I'd think through that because I was listening to it as it sent over, and I certainly do appreciate it. Because this is pretty funky. I never thought about, you know, rock being funky at any time. I guess I was just so into Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah, we were in the black funk. You know, there was blue eyed funk and blue eyed soul.
What is the blue eyed funk and blue eyed soul?
Well, this is blue eyed funk. Zeppelin. What's the other guy's name?
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd at times. He could be. Depends. Edgar Winner.
Chicago.
No, they're more pop. They're not funk.
Now, what about Bret Michaels?
What's the song?
I don't know.
You'd have to give me songs.
You can't tell me that, but can't tell you songs.
Yeah, I can't tell you unless I know the song.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is Open Mic Friday, and Jeff and I are sitting here, and I hope that you're having a great afternoon. Whitten has some Chinese. Jeff is having some chicken, and I hope you're having a good afternoon.
Save chicken.
Eating church's chicken? That ain't church's chicken.
No, it ain't no church's chicken.
There ain't no church's chicken around here.
It's Popeye.
Oh, no, wait a minute. See, that was talking about I ain't hip if I ain't heard no Led Zeppelin.
Right. Hall & Oates, you right?
Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates, that wasn't Blue Eyed Soul.
Oh, yeah.
No. Blue. That wasn't.
I can't go for that. Are you crazy?
That wasn't Blue Eyed Soul.
What do you think it was?
That was like average white
man. For average white man is Blue Eyed Soul too.
That's not Blue Eyed Soul.
No, but that were funk though.
That's not Blue Eyed Soul. That ain't Blue Eyed Funk.
Wait a minute. No, average white man is funk.
Them in turned inside out Oreos.
Nah, whatever.
No, Jeff, you messed it up. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. My voice is still a certain way, and for some reason I can still sing while I'm sounding like this talking, but I can't.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a real good thing, because I got to make money tonight. I am at a place over in West Middlesex, Pennsylvania.
At the hotel?
Yes, at the.
Can I see?
No, not. Yes, you can come. Not the hotel you're thinking. This is going to be at the Quality Inn. It's a restaurant called Bella Cena. And they have excellent food.
Can I sing?
Yes, you can sing. I always have a mic for you. You never show up.
That's not true. I show up and he won't give me the mic.
No, you sat down at the end of the table and ate food the last time. You did not come up and grab the mic. It was there.
Listen,
you didn't take advantage of it.
Listen, you are not supposed to try to get people to sing when you actually have food.
Yes, you are. Hold on.
Greens are greens, and you can't make people. You can't sing and eat greens at the same time. That's just, you know, wrong. I had to eat first. You sing on a full stomach, not an empty stomach. I don't know why. I don't understand. Hey, today got a lot to talk about. Let me see. I want to talk about what I saw, because Jeff walked out on me.
No, I didn't. I'm right here. Be quiet.
He won't let me sing, and he walks out on me while I'm talking. That's what I say about a man.
We're just no good. Oh.
Bill just said not hip. The first thing in healing is accepting the truth. The truth that I can't see, or the truth that they don't want me to sing? Because, Jeff, you don't, I'm, what? I need to sing. I can't think of the song now. Do you want the singer?
I want a singer. About the birds and the bees and the springer.
That's what I'm
saying.
I want to sing.
About a deer and a deer and a you and a me.
Who
was that? That little owl cartoon owl that wanted to sing. And his father was a classical teacher. And he was teaching him to sing classical. And so he was like, call me only for my eyes and I will not speak to you. And then, no, the cartoon still plays today.
I love
fun.
The singer.
There it is.
About the moon and the June and the springer. I love the singer. About a sky of blue or a key or two. Anything with a swing it to. And I love you. I love what you sing.
Oh, children, it's him at the radio station.
That's what I'm saying.
Your legs are both going to get me. Got through Yale with Bula Bula, La Dee Da. Oh, microphone got me. I love to sing. I love to wake up with the salsa in my mouth. And wave the flag with a cheer for Uncle Sammy and another former mammy. I love to sing.
Yes, she did. Okay, pause. Wait a minute. Hold on. The other day, I understand Pepsi went off the cliff.
It wasn't racist, it was just stupid. It's stupid. It wasn't racist, it was just stupid. And it goes to this guy's mindset, his only thing he knows.
So why did Pepsi follow the mindset?
Because they thought that they were going to get a whole bunch of young black drinkers of Mountain Dew to tune in because this guy did a commercial and buy Mountain Dew. Because it was stupid. It was a goat that had raped the woman. And then
the goat raped the woman?
A goat. And they put him in a lineup with all these other people but one goat. And then when she's looking at the goat says, you can't snitch on a player. Can't snitch on a player. When I get out of here, I'm going to do this to you. And he said all this stuff. And then when she runs out, she's all battered and everything. I can't do this. And she runs out. And then the policeman that was in there says she needs to just do it.
Hold on, wait a minute, hold on, stop. Okay, wait a minute, hold on.
I'll never buy another Mountain Dew in my life because of that.
But what, was it racist or was it stupid? Hold on. Was it racist? Was it stupid or was it sexist?
It was. Stupid! It did not rise to the level of intellect. Period.
No,
so I don't even know how it could be called one way or another. It was mindless.
No, you got to understand, Jeff. They called it racist,
mm-hmm.
and they made him pull it off. But I want to know why is it that if it wasn't racist, if it was just stupid, I'll do stupid. But I'm tired of folks yelling wolf, and it sounds more sexist than it does.
It's both. I mean, but it was stupid. It didn't rise to any real level of anything. It was ridiculous. It was so stupid that you just couldn't deal with it. And like I said, this was a ghetto mentality. I mean, a juvenile ghetto mentality.
Mountain Dew racist. So Pepsi has pulled the ad, and ABC's Lindsay Davis is here with more on the provocative marketing campaign that pushed the envelope too far. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, George. Not only are they calling it racist, some are actually calling it the most racist commercial ever. Critics say it portrays racial stereotypes and also makes light of violence toward women. It was all created by a black man who says the storyline is so bizarre, it was never meant to be taken seriously.
I know my rights.
The premise of these online ads is absurd enough.
Give it to me.
A crazy goat who becomes obsessed with Mountain Dew.
Give me more. I want it.
They've gotten 2 million views since March. And now there's a sequel.
Come on. Which one is he?
But this morning, some are calling this the most racist commercial ever.
It's me. You should have gave me some more.
The ad features that battered waitress now on crutches being urged to identify a suspect out of a lineup of black men.
You better not snitch on a player.
This ad is destructive because it further pushes forward the stereotype of black men as being violent criminals.
The backlash growing so big, PepsiCo just pulled the 60-second spot saying, "We apologize for this video and take full responsibility." The ad was directed by Tyler, the Creator, an African-American rapper, producer, and comedian. His publicist tells ABC News it was never Tyler's intention to offend. For those who know and respect Tyler, he's known for pushing boundaries and challenging stereotypes through humor. This isn't the first time a major corporation has come under attack for pushing the envelope with an online-only ad. Just last month, the conservative Christian group 1 Million Moms urged Kmart to pull their online ad promoting free shipping.
Shit my pants. Right here?
Far from pulling it, Kmart started airing it on cable TV.
Shipped my pants!
The word do is apparently a reference to the Do It slogan. But this ad is one thing they won't be doing anymore.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, I think we've just gone too far. You know, I saw the other night, I want to say it was last night, I saw the Ship My Pants commercial, and I was not impressed with that. But anytime that I watch things that I watch now, I'm not surprised by anything that we do, because what we do is, you know, what they've done. And I mean, the Ship My Pants, all of it was crazy. I just don't get it. And last night while I was watching, and I'm a scandal girl. I'm gonna go back to my song in a minute.
Yeah,
I had to get that out, but I'm going back to my song. But I was watching Scandal last night, and I was watching with my mother. My mother is senior in her years. I won't tell her age out loud today, but
she's 40 through. I'm 30 through.
Okay, she's 40 through. And she's about 10 years younger than Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she saw two men walk up just out of the blue and go kiss his husband in a long, passionate kiss.
Don't call that man husband.
Okay, kiss his partner. Well, that's what he called it.
Partner. I don't care what they called it in the movie.
Okay, I'm just saying, you know, she said, well, what is that? I said, she asked me, well, what is that? I said, well, that's his husband. And I said, that's his wife or that's his something. And it was, my mom.
Did she throw up on the floor?
Not quite throw. Jeff, pull that around.
That can hear me.
Yeah, an echo.
I'm sorry.
Jeez, oh, man.
Listen to my voice. I can't stand this.
And you yelling across the room trying to get a mic.
Yes, upset. It was so offensive.
I said
that was
offensive. Did you watch it?
I said, of course, I watched Scandal all week.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
My mom almost passed out completely, because, you know, in her days, they went from no TV to TV. And all of a sudden, it was like, are you serious? This has really happened?
Big time. And it was so crazy. They had all the other sex scenes in there too, you know, of the scandal lady, not only messing with the president, but then messing with the guy that was sent there to watch her. It was. I mean, they got her right now. She's hit. But you know, it just doesn't make sense.
Bill told me to be careful saying ship. It sounds really close. That's what I'm saying. That's the problem with the commercial. The commercial sounds pretty close.
Right.
But I'm just saying, y'all, you know, so I got to go back to my song, because my song called somebody a mammy. So the question is, and that's how I got to that commercial, you know, following the bouncing ball. Is the commercial as racist as, you know, my boy? Because I love the commercial, and he would not have been able to do that.
I love to wake up with the salsa in my mouth and wave the flag up with a cheer for Uncle Sammy and another former mammy. I love to sing.
He called him a mammy. You know, if you use the word mammy in the dictionary today, that would not be a pretty picture.
No.
So which one is
instant death penalty?
So which one is more racist?
The cartoon was the one that's racist, because at least it was intellectual.
I love to sing about,
because he wants to sing jazz and his daddy wants him to sing classical, and now they bust into what when he sees them. Watch.
Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will.
So that was, now,
about a sky of blue or teeth,
so this
or
was
two,
more racist.
The swing of two, and I love
way more racist with the mammy singing.
I like to sing and never stop
until
my papa.
I'm having a moment. I just wasn't expecting, you know, I'd never heard the word mammy in the song. I never paid attention to it because I just knew I wanted to sing a about the birth and the being. I never knew that the voice said the mammy word in the, inside there. And I just didn't realize that we had come so far to go so stupid. Because the Mountain Dew, the stereotypes, I don't understand. It was a black, well, I don't get it. Cause even when they had the little chicken and they got mad at Mary J. Blige for singing chicken song. Is it me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
It's all you, Tracy. You're the only person in the world. You're the only one.
Only you.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm the only one in the world of what?
You're messing up like that. Mm-hmm.
I just think we need to call a spade and quit yelling.
That's racist. Calling a spade, you racist, non-caring. Yep, that's it. Yep. Everywhere there's you can fall into a trap everywhere. You know that. So, it's all good.
Well, maybe I just ought to stay silent.
You can't stay silent.
Why? Because I do talk radio?
Because Breitbart died and you have to replace him. So you need to keep moving.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Give us a call. Today is open mic. National Day of Prayer. Not National Day of Prayer, that was yesterday.
Yeah. Rally in the Valley.
Rally in the Valley. Iron mm-hmm. Sharpening Iron is on tomorrow. And you can probably go down there. It's all for men.
Mm-hmm.
The men's Rally in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown, 10 o'clock, I believe it is. Downtown, Youngstown.
Right.
At the Cavelli Center. They want you to come down and spend some time with them. Go see Barbie Doll over at Doll Antique and All. And go and say, tell us you heard her on Tracy and Friends. And we're glad to tell you that they are a wonderful used and collectible furniture store with different collectibles and trinkets and stuff in there. It's a great day.
Where are they at now? Where are they located?
They're on the corner of West Reserve
mm-hmm.
and South Avenue.
Right,
across
right, right.
from Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a nice little out that's easy to get in, easy to get out. Go out there and tell them that you heard it, Tracy and Friends. Jeff, what else is going on? I had to get I'm still baffled about the mammy and the Pepsi and the black boy actually writing the Pepsi and the black boy actually producing the directing the video for the Pepsi and the Mountain Dew. Then everybody want to call it racist. So if it was racist, then how can it be racist with having black folks behind it? Because Pepsi paid for it?
Yes. Because somebody needs to be sued and their money taken.
And not only that, if you realize this, in Pepsi's eyes, if a black man does it, you wouldn't think that Pepsi would have to look at the racial stereotypes that come along with it when a black man did it. I mean, maybe I'm just thinking a little bit too logically here.
Right. Of course you are. You're not crazy, Tracy.
So why don't we go after all of the recording companies that have the N-word?
No, what do you mean?
That's
unacceptable.
No, seriously, Jeff.
Because it's only killing the people that it's around.
This idiot
that made this commercial, and I call him an idiot because the commercial had no value, none whatsoever.
Well, neither does the commercial when you got a frog sitting on a lily pad licking his lip, catching a fly, drinking a bud. Come on.
I like that.
Doesn't matter.
That's intellectual.
Okay, explain,
yeah.
Lucy.
Okay, it's intellectual because frogs don't sit on lily pads drinking buds, but they do sit on lily pads and catch flies with the tongue. So now you add the bud in there, that makes that brings a humanness to the frog, and then it's just like everybody, you know, all animals, all creations are common and blah blah blah. It's intellectual. Okay, it has an intellectual property. This had no intellectual property whatsoever. It had a thug property, and I guess it, in their mind, Fellow, I'm telling you, you better not tell on me. You should have gave me more. You should have bothered me. Like a black man would do, this a thug, which is the only thing he knows.
Was it a stereotype or was it the truth? Well,
it's the absolute truth of stereotype, but it was so stupid, it didn't make any. It was stupid. It was just plain stupid. I was ashamed that a black man in America made this commercial.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Reese really, I mean, and the same, as a matter of fact, you can't even do that. Now, wait a minute, hold on, Jeff. Because
mm-hmm.
the GOAT said, I'm an American, and so did Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Did she not?
Right. But what does it matter, Tracy? What does it matter? It was stupid.
It was stupid, but all of my whole bunch of them are stupid. The TV shows are stupid. Have you watched? Hi, 626, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing? It's Kofi the Man.
Hey, Kofi the Man.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Jeff? I don't think I don't think it's unusual that interest groups would use black people, whether it be a black entertainer or whatever, to further racist goals. If you just stop for a minute and do a self check. White conservatives have been doing that with black conservatives for a long time, and black people have been pointing that out. And it's not a coincidence that the same black people that usually points out, black conservatives being a gimp for white races, that the same people point to commercials like this or Mary J. Blige or something, when they point to it and they see a black person who's been used to promote or to, whatever, give credence to racism, racist views, the stereotypes. People have always called that out. That's nothing new. So, it won't be the first time. It'll be the last time that black people call other black people out for promoting racist stereotypes.
Hello? I'm lost.
I'm gonna take a break.
I'm lost on
I
that.
I gotta take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hearing on WSOM, I'll be back, Kofi Man, because I gotta pick up my brain for what you said, because I just think that was the most idiotic thing I've heard in a very, very long time.
I'm not gonna call
time.
It idiotic, but I'm just gonna say it didn't connect because
no.
It's not true.
No. It did not. It was ignorance. It was straight up ignorance. In the
how
sense
it
of,
ignorant?
I'll tell you when I come back.
Okay.
Good family. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Two men from Masury accused of the theft of a $36,000 brass statue and grave marker from the Mahoning Valley Memorial Park in Youngstown have been indicted by a Trumbull County grand jury. Michael Kreister and Richard Cotrio were indicted on identical charges of felony receiving stolen property and vandalism and two misdemeanor counts of desecration. Ohio employers could see $1 billion in cash rebates this summer from the state insurance fund for injured workers. Governor John Kasich said Thursday about 210,000 businesses and public employers could see a payout in June or July should the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation Board approve the idea. Checks could range between $5 to more than $3 million. And a new report says Ohio leads the nation in insurance claims for metal thefts. A National Insurance Crime Bureau report released Wednesday showed Ohio filed 3,228 claims from 2010 through 2012. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Yeah, I got you. See, cause look at his hair and everything, his features. He looks like Cuban.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah.
Hey, the number 347-945-5229. I got to go back and fight with Covina man in a minute. But I need to break.
This is what gets me.
Hold on, Jeff. Let Boss get Boss.
Boom. Sad trees. Pretty low.
Okay, I got it. This was a hit.
What?
This was it.
Who?
This guy right here.
Who?
The band was just good.
Absolutely. Hot.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Metal band. Somebody from the metal band.
I had to get that out.
Yeah, Jeff.
Covina, man. Sweetheart.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, I am so tired of you trying to mix conservatism with your liberal mind media. Left wing wackadoodle theory. I have major issue that you mix my conservative value with racism. That is just so overly offensive, not only to me, but to everyone who has to try to bring people of color to a sense of self-responsibility and reliability and to take them off the government trough. That just bothers me. See, I don't walk around with my titties hanging out.
Oh!
Nor would I want to see a man with his behind hanging out. I think people need to go to work and get a job. I think they need to go and they need to have their own business so I can employ people that look like me and give them a fair shake. I have a problem when you sit there and try to commingle nonsense of a crazy Mountain Dew Pepsi commercial because somebody gets paid with someone who is trying to really make systemic differences in our community to where we are no longer dependent on the system, but the system depends on us. That's just asinine to me. And I have a problem when you do that. Because conservatives, if you are a true conservative, especially an African American, what you're trying to do is what I just said. It is not about carrying the white man's water. It's about standing on your own two feet so I can carry my own water and help you carry yours. That's what true conservative is really all about.
And at the same time that we go through all of that, we have people saying crazy stuff like what you just said, trying to say we're doing stuff for white people when y'all stupid behind support the Democrat Party, who says in their platform that it's good that we have abortion to wipe the hell out of those black people that we don't want in our party, but we'll use them till we kill them off. And so we'll just do that. And if they try to get off that plantation, oh no, you can't get off of there. You can't change. You can't change. What are you doing changing? I actually had a man tell me that I must have made a lot of money in my life for me to have not been a Democrat. And I said, I've never been a Democrat in my life. My father was never a Democrat. Neither was my grandfather ever a Democrat. Why? Because they did not believe in living off of the government. Period. Not because of anything else. That you're helpless behind. I ain't helpless.
Have you seen do you really understand what the Affordable Health Care Act can do to people of color?
What it's going to do.
And poor people? Do you really understand that right now, as you're looking at the job numbers that are going down and everybody's celebrating them, they are still going up in the black community, especially when it comes to black men. And if a black man don't have a job, he can't feed his kids. And if he can't feed his kids, he cannot have self-esteem, nor can he have self-respect. And don't tell me it's because of conservatives.
Yeah, no, it's our fault. It's our fault.
Okay, I see you're getting emotional on this, and I'm trying to be rational.
No,
stop. Now, I'm
no,
rationally stop. Saying what I was rationally saying
that
was that
baby.
Yes. So what?
That wasn't even rational.
That wasn't very rational. I just made a comparison.
It was not a rational form of thought.
Okay, wait a minute. He's out in California. Okay,
yes.
You got an idiot out in California that claims to be a conservative named Ward Connolly. You may be able to apply that to Ward Connolly, but Ward Connolly does not agree with the rest of us that are conservative blacks in America. Ward Connolly is probably somebody that's being paid by the left to act a fool on the right. That's Ward Connolly. Even if he's doing it up in his own accord, it's fine. He's a fool.
Right.
Okay. Now, he is a fool. He's one of the people that are fools. We're not that, my friend. We don't do that.
Okay. I wasn't making a personal attack on anybody.
You
I was
did.
Just saying.
No, you did.
I didn't say anybody specifically.
You've listened to my show long enough to know that I am a Republican conservative. You know that. That ain't rocket science, nor is it a hidden statement.
Right.
And when you take that statement and put me in the same breath as a stupid, idiotic commercial that I don't see as racist, I just see as ignorant and stupid. Because the stereotype is kind of true if you really want to look at the mess of it. Because every time somebody white gets raped, they go out and say it was a black man, and they do the same lineup, and they don't put a goat in it.
Right. So, but okay. Well, what I'm getting back is what you're angry at. You know, none of us are defending the commercial, but what I was saying was people do point that out for the commercial. People do point that out. With what Jeff had acknowledged, a person like Ward Connolly. I mean, if you would go down the list of black conservatives, like Sean Hannity rounded up the black conservatives and did some kind of interview with them, most of them would fit the Ward Connolly model.
No,
the
they
people
wouldn't.
Who are be-
no,
most,
no,
most
no,
of them
no,
is.
No,
the ones
no,
that I,
they,
the ones that,
listen, the ones that you see on TV. And remember, your left-wing media are the ones who make the phone calls to these people to invite them on.
I was talking about
they don't call. They don't call me. They call Ward Connolly so he can get up there and be stupid. They don't call.
I was talking about Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity has not called me. He don't have a whole lot of black folks on that, period.
Sure don't.
Did you see that show where he must have had 2,000 or more.
Oh yeah, he's trying.
All
he had
the black conservatives that come on Fox News.
No. He had some of the black conservatives that come on Fox News, and he had several others that we've had on this program as well that don't get on Fox News. Sometimes they'll get on a CNN or an MSNBC here and there. But the thing is they don't. That's not a good representation of all of the true ones. They only allow so many at the top because they want the ones that they think they can handle. And that's what they do. That's what the left-wing media does, puts them out there and takes advantage of their inability to explain. They won't put me on that stage, I guarantee you.
Yeah, you might
now,
say something.
I get that because, well, not because I might say something, because I am not under their control.
Yeah,
I
understand.
Yeah,
go ahead, Alabama.
I wanted to ask you and Tracy a question because I don't know this guy. I didn't hear what he said at our meeting, but it sounds like to me he's made a statement about the people and the type of people they are instead of the actual principles and getting away from is lower taxes and choices in education good for black people.
We were talking about the Pepsi the Mountain Dew commercial that was pulled by Pepsi with the woman screaming rape from a goat who drank too much Mountain Dew, who was directed by a black guy who they pulled because they said it was the most racist commercial, and it came out of the song calling somebody a mammy. And Kalina Man came on and says, that's what conservatives and people like that do when they do, you know, when they carry in the white man's water.
What's carrying his water, though? What is that? I want to hear. Don't cut him off. I really want to hear what carrying the white man's water is.
Yeah, what I was trying to say was how people have pointed out that is racist and is not unusual for black individuals to be used to either promote racism or people put in place to allow racism to go by. Like
Barack Obama.
And Jeff had pointed out Ward Connolly. I didn't say anybody's name specifically, but I was just saying that there are people who, white people will put a black person in a position to either overlook racism or promote racism. That commercial did it. There's been other commercials that she had mentioned.
I mean, like Barack Obama. You're talking about Barack Obama, right?
I wasn't specifically talking about anyone in specific, but I wouldn't say Barack Obama fits that in the context.
Why?
Not in the context that I'm talking about.
Well, why doesn't he? Why? Because he overlooks racism. And he overlooks people suffering. Black people suffering worse in 50 years since the 60s. So, I mean, your hypothesis with Barack Obama's the worst one. He's blackface, but true black. So I just want to hear what you think of that.
I would not agree with that because the racism.
Why?
Because I'm going to show you. Yeah, I was going to answer you why before you asked. The racism is carried out by racists, not by Barack Obama. So the actions that are affecting black people are carried out by the racists, not by Barack Obama. So
Well, hold on. So you're telling me that, and this is the thing. I agree that racism exists. I think there's a system, so to speak, a power structure. I agree with that. But then when you really look at it on an individual micro level, I know kids that went to a school. We got a school in the hood. Everybody's poor. You're telling that kid if he can't get his education. I mean, what is the end all, be all of it? Like, are you telling him if he works hard and gets his education, life is going to suck? I mean, what are you saying?
Cause
I keep hearing people complain, racism. I'm like, okay, your job, you can do. It's a lot you can do if you get your stuff together. So what are you saying in effect?
Right. That's not what I'm saying. I didn't bring that argument in. That's a side argument. We can go down that road if you like, but I don't think that was germane to what we were talking about here. But if you're talking about the education, yes, people can get education enough to where they can live life as much abundantly as possible in spite of all the racism.
But where is the racism, dude? Like, no. I'm saying, where is it? Like, cite it real quick for me. Just tell me where it is. Like, tell me where people, because when you say racism, I'm talking about where people are trying to literally. Now, you can cite in the jail system, and I'll agree with you.
I said it. In America, do you need anything more rational than that?
The whole lot going on the planet. So I'm trying to. I'm saying we're the wealthiest ones on Earth. So I'm trying to see what you're talking about. Give me more to it, because I can contradict what you're saying if I want.
Actually, we're not. But what? You said where is the racist out there?
Who are the wealthiest? No, who are the wealthiest black people on Earth?
Oh,
group of people of color.
Oh, you didn't say black people. You didn't say black people.
That's not. I wouldn't. No,
people.
I wouldn't.
Wealthiest people in the world.
But this, I gotta clarify this, and let me say this. I just want to say, using definitions of racism and white supremacy and all that
broad
kind of
definition.
Stuff. Broad.
Mm-hmm.
When right now where I live, there, and I've been saying this for a very, very long time, but because of illegal drug use, people can't go and get jobs, which means they can't get economic development. And somehow we're going to have people who are willing to work through your bad issues to help you get through good practices. We're going to have to work on some things in the community. And you talk about conservatives like it's a demon. But you don't realize that there are people out there, and they're not on television, who are trying so very, very hard to make people become better and productive citizens. Because right now, when I look at 72% of African American children living in a household without a good family structure, when I have conversations with men who are 40 and 50 years old and they're bragging to me about having 10, 15, and 20 kids, and I know good and well they're not taking care of them, I got young ladies out there working like a dog trying to take care of their kids and not having a man around. And if you want to see the African-American community actually thrive, if we don't get back to family and a family unit, we're going to die. You know, we're celebrating this scandal thing. But this scandal thing is real. Black women get ready to flip a script and start going to white guys, for real, because we already started.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not coming. See, old was, I'm going to sleep with him, but I'm going to marry black. But we're going to start coming out the closet. Just like
they ain't going to marry the black women. They ain't going to marry them.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
okay.
They are. Because right now, the reason why they don't marry black women right now is because it's taboo. But see, right now, media is getting ready to change all that.
I don't think that day will ever come in America.
Why?
Because it is so entrenched, I don't think that it will come that way. And the separation is going to be huge. I don't see that one. I see that they will continue to, as a whole, have you as a woman on the side, and there's going to be so many black women that will put up with that, that they will have that.
And
not going to be too much marrying.
I'm telling you, Jeff.
I'm not saying there's not going to be any marrying, and there's some degree now.
In the next 15 years,
okay,
you're going to see a great multiplication of interracial marriages where black women are marrying white men. And because, and let me tell you why I say that.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice last night, while his wife was holding her press conference talking about his extramarital affair,
mm-hmm,
he said, let her go ahead. See, usually you don't leave for your mistress.
I hear you.
It's going to change the mindset because media has a way of warping the person's mind.
That's a show written
happen
by a black woman.
That's
a show written by a black woman.
Thank
that
you
wanted to date a white man, probably.
Thank you.
No, because you got to. What's her name?
That's fairy tale. Go ahead.
No. Kerry Washington does not date black.
She was married to a white dude.
Kerry Washington doesn't
make Kerry Washington. I don't look. I'm sick and tired of these people. We holding these women in the black community like they sex symbols. Halle Berry.
Hear me what I'm saying. I know what you're
go
saying.
Ahead.
Halle Berry only dates white men. You got to understand where people are going.
Halle
and
Berry,
like I'm saying,
it's
things are changing in the world. That's not white supremacy. What that is
white supremacy.
That's exactly what it is. But wait, one person can date who they want to date.
I'm just saying we don't need to try to put the mic up to her face like she speaks for all black people like something wrong with us.
We're talking about what it speaks to. And what I'm saying is, it sets up a paradigm that says it's okay for interracial marriages and interracial dating, and we no longer have to be ashamed of a chick on the side. We can bring her out of the closet.
I don't think it's going to happen here, and because I see these attitudes so entrenched, they don't leave. But what's going to also happen is you're going to have less and less black people. So you're not going to have very much to choose from at all.
Well, Jeff, and to piggyback on what you just said, Jeff, just to add to it, when you see white women dating interracially and they date successful black men, you don't see white women dating brothers that's broke and just got making $20,000. They dating up. Black women try to date. That's true. These white women, when they date a brother, they dating the best brother they can get.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Hold on, Alec. Go ahead, South Carolina. I'm sorry, Alabama, that's not true. You need to come and spend about a week and a half in South Carolina.
That's what I'm saying. Go down south. You see all these ugly, fat women dating these broke brothers fresh out of college. I'm fresh out of
that's who you
fresh out of the pen.
Oh, fat, ugly.
Wait a minute. Not the college brothers.
Oh yeah, well the college brothers get a whole lot of white women.
But check this out.
Here it is. When you get a poor, I'm sorry to say this, and for those that are listening, understand this is a reality. I see a whole lot of brothers that'll get the skankiest white woman they can find and be so proud to have her on the arm. Where they would not get. Say a heavy-set, dark-skinned black woman that is not skanky and be proud to have her on the arm. Because psychologically in this America, they have made that image of the white woman to be so coveted that that's what you go after. I've never been like that. I've always liked black women. I've dated everybody.
No comparison.
But, you know,
it's not even close. I'm not trying to be racist, but it's not even close as far as comparison
for a white woman to a black woman.
I
can't do me a favor. Don't talk on topic because it really comes off muddy.
Dated all races, literally. But the thing is you know, that's when you're in the service. You're introduced to all of that stuff. You know, and so you kind of try some of everything if you had that advantage too. But the thing is,
you only got time to 9 seconds.
It doesn't matter. I choose black women. But the thing is that's not going to be the thing because that image is burnt in the minds of black Americans, and that's why they vote like they vote.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hey, I'm going to open up the mics. You guys be good in there, please. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoon.
Yeah, Alabama. Hey, Alabama?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm here.
Yeah, man. I see where you're going for going with that Obama thing, but I think if you look at it, Obama is just as much a victim of racism as anyone else.
He's
a victim
what?
Of race. A victim.
Man, hold on. This is the thing. Obama, you talking about a guy who went from obscurity back in 2005 during Hurricane Katrina, down there with President Bush, didn't nobody know who he was, to now he is the ruler of the free world. I'm not saying that people don't like him because of the color of his skin. You cannot get rid of people's hearts. But what I'm telling you is if we as black people just took our dollars, spent them on our own businesses, if we as black people just say we push for educational choice, or we start trying to educate our own kids, even if the whole structure of racism does not change, we would be successful. We wouldn't have the mess we have in our community. I'm talking about just handle what we can handle. Because it's, the serenity prayer. The serenity, get the wisdom to know what you can change and affect it. People go always, I work in an office with this female next to me that can't stand me, white female. But she talk to everybody else and smile and laugh. I speak, she just keep walking. But do I care? No, I can give a rat's behind as long as they give my check on Friday. That's all I care about.
Right,
Alabama. If we did what you just said, you know what? It would cripple the system. It would cripple the system to a point where
you're right.
They would be begging for us to come and talk to them.
Exactly.
But the thing is, Alabama and South Carolina. The thing is, that type of mentality in amongst black people has never existed and probably never will exist.
When you look at COINTELPRO, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King were both saying, spend the dollars in our community, teaching our own. They said this stuff way back in the day. Marcus Garvey was saying this stuff. The government saw it and quelled it down. Lyndon Johnson said, look, we're going to get these black people a little something to keep them happy and keep them voting for us, but not enough to empower and get them on their own 2 feet. We want to make sure they stay down. He said, I can show you this statement. But so we keep voting Democrat when 7 people switch parties, but then they'll call us Uncle Toms. But when they try to start a plantation just to keep getting the master's resources. But we the Uncle Tom. Who was the field guy? The guy that wanted to break free, right? That wanted freedom. He wasn't going to get nothing but what he kept. But the house Negro was the one that wanted to stay there because of the master's resources. Anybody that comes and tries to stop those resources nowadays is labeled. And I think they've got us mentally in that aspect. So whenever we had these black State of the Union things and all these quote-unquote black leaders get up, nobody really says that. They all speak like the Republicans. They all in unison say Republicans. But who running the states? Who running these cities? Black Democrats that's running them in the ground and putting these folks in jail just like they claim the Republicans do.
You know what?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're all over the map. The thing is, some of what you said is true, but I'm just saying black folks aren't going to wake up one day and decide, oh, if we just pull all our resources. People have been saying that since even before Marcus Garvey, and it has never happened, because as soon as black folks, let's say back in the Marcus Garvey days, it was the turn of the century, last century, people did get together and get their stuff, right? You can look at Rosewood, you can look at Tulsa, Oklahoma. White folks had race riots that came in and tore that stuff down. Right? So
you're right. I'll argue with you. That did take place. But what are we pushing? What are Democrats trying to get them to do now? Disarm? What's going to happen when they do that?
No, you're right. But you switch your issues. I'm trying to stick with the same issue.
No, Rosewood took place, and these people came in. But if you take people's guns, it's going to be worse than Rosewood. It's going to be worse than that.
But the main thing that most people will be affected if they take the guns is going to be the working class whites who want to fight back from the taxation that's going to occur, from the heavy taxation, and they're the population that's going to fight back with guns. It's not going to be the African American population because population is going to be too small.
Right, he's right on that too. But I'm just saying, I want to stick with the mixed race marriage.
That's called the Democrats pushing it, and black folks going to justify it.
That part right there, you're 100% right. We can all agree on that. Where the thing is, the difference between people who should be independent mindset, like you're promoting here, and then all of a sudden you want to attach to a white conservative. White conservatives were the people who were burning down.
No, dude. I'm not gonna let you put white conservative on that. No, I'm saying. Conservative, pro-black.
Okay, well, you're talking about pro-black. Okay, if I'm talking about, see, the thing was, I was talking about white conservatives and how they use black folks as a cover for their racism.
We're talking about 5% of people, dude.
Oh, there's two people. I'm not talking about the finance. I was specifically talking about white conservatives come in and they use their black, just like the white liberals are using.
But dude, why do you say that? Why do you say that when we're talking about a fraction of black people that even call themselves conservative? 95% of us are in unison Democrats. So what difference does just because you want to call the show and talk to these three or four black people that are conservative, it don't make a difference, because at the end of the day, we're all pushing down this liberal, Democrat, pro-homosexual, anti-family, Democrat way. All of us are. Disagree individually.
Right, but I'm just saying, my thing is, the black conservatives, I think, are basically useless. These people come in, they've been used by these white racists for a particular reason that is not working.
I'm not going to sit up here and call and tell us that we are being used when we have our own opinions and we form our own opinions based off information. Ain't no white man coming up there telling us to be, okay, I'm going to do it. He's going to write me a check. They ain't writing us. What we're talking about is low taxes and keeping what you earn. How is that being used by white men?
Tell me something. White man, did the white man develop your attitude or develop your mindset or develop your thinking?
Yeah,
no, I'm at war with the white man. Me and him don't get along.
But what I'm saying is, you saying that we think we're the ones that's thinking a way that's closed minded and enslaved. When we're telling you, I don't give a rip what the next white man says to me. I have my own mind. As a matter of fact, the majority of the people that hold your point of view are white.
Yeah, South Carolina, I got no problem with you brothers if that's the way you brothers say. I'm talking about the ones that's being used by the white folks. I specifically said the ones that's being used by the white folks, That's the ones that's what I'm talking about. There's a plenty of women that's being used by the white folks. That's what they.
But think Whoopi Goldberg, who has a boyfriend that shows up in blackface and is making sure she keeps, like, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, they doing way more damage than some obscure guy that you see on Sean Hannity who nobody pays attention to. Al Sharpton has his own show. Every time something happens to a black person, they put a mic to their face and they speak for all of us. They doing way more damage. Way more. And 95% of our people will listen to him before they'll listen to somebody showing them the evidence of what you're saying. We can show you that what these people are talking about, they want to kill black people, the Negro Project. We can show you all that. But black folks going to still go and vote for the people that want them wiped off the face of the earth, like that doctor up there that's killing all those people. That's common. That's how they think. That's normal. That don't shock me. That's not even really news to me. They've been talking like that for hundreds of years, want to wipe us out, killing us. And black people are for it. They got us. And he said, they actually, you can find what these people said, we're going to get them to destroy themselves. And it's like, all I'm saying is, man, just stop destroying yourself and just start. You're saying it ain't going to happen, but when you made a point, you said, well, that's never happened. If you go back and you look at black businesses and the success rate of a black business prior to integration, we were way, our businesses were way more successful. We didn't have the resources because there was still a lot more racism. But now that we have the equal rights under the Constitution, we can still come out here and do the things we used to do, but they integrated us to stop us. It was a trade-off.
There you go.
And who did it?
Go.
The Democrats. The Democrats. The people that we vote for. It's only seven of them that switched parties during the Great Party Switch. And the Southern strategy was just in the South in four or five states throughout the South. But they got all of us now voting for the people. Governor Wallace, I'm from Alabama. That guy hated black folks. We voted that guy into the done near to the 90s. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to break free and just start looking at it from both ways. We'll have no political diversity. We'll have no diversity. It's just all Democrat, man. Look, man, take this energy and aim it at the Democrats, dude. Aim it at the ones that get, because that's them the ones that run Chicago. Them the ones run Chicago and letting us get killed out there.
The thing is, you black conservatives need to address the races in your party and then let the people who are not in your part, you're not in part.
I cannot change their hearts, dude.
We're not working it. I'm not talking about changing hearts. Just deal with the racists.
What am I going to scream at racist folks for?
But here's the problem you run into, okay? It's kind of hard, and the problem I run into is being disingenuous, because we see racism. We understand racism. We see it. But at the same point, the racism that you have on your side, you choose to ignore.
Exactly.
Okay? You choose to ignore it. When you promote 35% of all abortions being performed on 7% of the population, you promote that. The black population, that's a way disproportionate amount of abortions on any population in the entire world. But yet you guys promote that. You promote the standards, the educational standards being lowered because somebody said it, because you black, you can't achieve, so we're going to lower the standards so you can. That's a lie. We're lying to our kids, man, and you guys are promoting that. And you're calling us blind and we can't see racism?
But then you want to say deal with the racism on the outside. The problem I see is this. When you say racism on our side, what I really look at is this. A person who's for the Constitution, for individual rights, the basic individual rights, that's all I need. Look, you want to segregate? Go do your thing. I know that sounds bad to say. I don't care. You can segregate. If we're going to do what we're supposed to do, we're not handling our own business. Yeah, we're focused on some obscure guy who holds up a sign, some event he may have been planning.
Right, stop right there. That's right where the point is. That is the right where the point is, what you just said. Because you have millions and millions of white folks all working together on a racist plan. But then you have the black folks who are disorganized and have no plan and no action and no incentive and no money to do anything about getting their race stuff together. So you have an organized person and a disorganized person. An organized person got all the power. So it only makes sense for somebody to say, well, we need to be included. Because the people over here, if I need my race to work together,
I didn't say that. I said we can.
Can I come back to my own show now?
Yes, Tracy.
All right, thanks. Well, so I'm going to start from the bottom because I want to hear what everyone has to say. 314, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Pianki?
I'm doing pretty good. I really like what the guy from Alabama is saying, but have you heard the latest thing that Mitt Romney just said? At a commencement speech in, I think it was Virginia, he told the white women in the audience, and I'm reading what it says, he said, Mitt Romney's advice to college students, get married and have a quiver full of children.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's telling, while black women are having abortions, like whatever highways in your neighborhood, killing up kids. He's telling them that have children,
You need to.
Because he sees the political, political swing.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you have to realize if you don't, what's wrong with us is we quit having children, and the children that we have, we either kill them in the womb or kill them in the prison, one of the two, or kill them in the street, one of the three. But because that's what's wrong with the black population right there.
Tracy, do you think that, I guess only Republicans can be racist. I guess that's what the gentleman was just getting
that's
to.
That's exactly what he's
that's
saying.
That's what he said.
Oh, okay. I didn't know because he was just like, you got to deal with the racism. And I'm sitting like, you're talking about the same party of people that gave us Jim Crow, the hangings, the shot king, put him in jail, Democrat. Everything that we cite as being bad to happen to black folks was done by Democrats, but we need to deal with the racism in the Republican Party.
Right.
Is that what he – okay. All right. I didn't know that.
Hey, wait a minute, Alabama. And one Southern Democrat became a Republican – so that meant the whole Republican Party became racist in the 60s,
right.
And that was Strom Thurmond. One.
I'm going to tell you something crazy,
one,
though.
Hold on.
They got free and killed.
Hold on, Alabama.
Byrd apologized, but he said right at the couple years of life, I guess there's just as many white niggas as there is black niggas. Now. You tell me how
now,
really
that wasn't racist because you can say that word because you said that's in the music.
Yeah, but Bird said it, not me.
No, Jeff, you can't say you listen. It's in the music. As long as you say that it's in the music, that's different. But you can't say mammy and you can't say fried chicken.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, about watermelon then. Come on now.
You can't say watermelon.
We'll call him a barnyard pit then.
Well, that's different, Jeff.
You South Carolina, you made an excellent point when you said the hypocrisy of some of our people on the left to ignore the racism in their own party while they get played every single freaking day. And then they want to say because one Republican said something stupid here or there that the whole party is stupid. When in our little burg here, Tracy and I know at least 5 to 7 people that pour money into the inner city of Youngstown to try to help the state of black people. Why are they prejudiced?
Because.
Well, let me ask you this. When they freed King from prison, when he got out of jail, he said some good things about the president, and then he was killed. You know, he stemmed the polls into black people overwhelmingly going into the Democrat Party. Then he got killed, and that solidified it. But now we see the government, the family in 1998 got some money because the government killed Martin Luther King. So President, all of them, the same people, Johnson, they was in on it, and J. Edgar Hoover, they killed him. But these are the people that we've been voting for ever
hold
since
on.
Then.
Go ahead, Covina, man.
And he just said it. He just put out a conspiracy. But I'm just
ain't no conspiracy.
That,
that's a fact, dude. That's a fact.
Whatever. You just gave a conspiracy, man.
Man, she ain't a conspiracy. Oh, that's a fact, dude. They paid the King family for killing King.
Listen, this is the issue. We want to call it when it comes one way a conspiracy, and we want to call it when it comes another way
definitely racism. Now, see, let me tell you something.
Racism.
Hold on.
Can you stop?
What?
Listen to Jeff.
Okay, Covina, man, let me tell you this one then. I want you to really grasp this one. Okay, Johnson and Kennedy destroyed Civil Rights Bill in 1956 General Eisenhower. Why do you think that they changed their mind in the 60s and then employed the strategy to win, and then
can I answer that?
What, let me give you the quote, Johnson's quote.
Throwing it out there.
We're going to push this civil rights through because now he got to expand this big war in Vietnam that he got us into. He expanded that role, Kennedy, and he put us into that war. Now, and he makes the statement, well, we're going to pass civil rights. We're going to lose the South. But them niggas will vote for us for the next 100 years.
The same reason why they're talking about amnesty today.
Okay.
And they're trying to play the same card with the Latino,
with the Latino
as
vote.
They are with the African American vote.
Which is going to ensure, Tracy is going to ensure our unemployment rate being 20% for the next 40 years because they're going to come in and get all the jobs from black folks.
And we don't need to. We need to also get. We need to reconcile ourselves and get wrap our mind around this that we've been being played. But but let me say this about Republicans: it is not that they're racist. They're not, they just ignore you.
Well, they should. I like they kind of ignore. They tell you here's what you're asking for. Go over there and do your thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
You know,
Hold on, Alabama, Kavita, man.
Let me wait until I call the numbers up because I've got a lot of people waiting to say something that I don't think has said anything. Go ahead,
you,
one
call
your mic
and
is on.
Start talking. So go ahead.
I know, but listen, you ain't the only two on the line. 412, your mic is on.
You having some trouble this today, Tracy?
I know. I'm good. How are you, darling?
I'm great. I'm just listening to your conversation, and you know, you made mention about more and more black women, you know, getting interracial relationships and all that stuff. You know, that's been happening for a while. You know, that's been happening. Yeah, happening for a very long time. But I got to tell you, from my experience, that white men, at least prominent white men, aren't going to marry black women. And the reason for it is that you have to understand white supremacy, and it just doesn't work that way. What you'll see is you know, in general, what you see is that when it comes to when white women actually branch out to date interracially, a lot of times, and this may be controversial or even offensive, but a lot of times what you see is that they are typically rejected from their own, or you know, or they're not really sought after or desired by their own men, and so then only after that do they branch out to, say, black men or whatever. But
what about Heidi Klum?
I mean, yeah.
Now, that's unless, you know, they get with it.
Caller's correct.
You know, if there's like a, you know, celebrity type, or if he has a lot of money or whatever.
During the break, Alex, just to cut you off right in the middle. I said this to Jeff during the break. We're not talking about your average African American women.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm talking about the cream of the crop. They're going to take the cream off the top.
The educated ones, you mean?
The educated ones, the ones that are moving.
That's not the cream of the crop.
No, that's
not the cream of the crop.
And what's the cream of the crop?
You know what? No, Tracy.
I want to go back to Alex. What is the cream of the crop, Alex?
Well, it's not that. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't really want to deal with those women because often enough, they just, their entitlement complex just grows more and more, and they start to value themselves up from their accomplishments, right? And basically trying to place value on themselves the same way a man does. And what these women tend to not realize is that that's not what a man wants. A man doesn't want another man. A man wants a woman.
Yes, he does. And I watched it on TV last night.
Heterosexual man, he does well.
Yeah, but
heterosexual man,
and that's a lot of times that's the reason why these women are lonely. I mean, because I've personally witnessed, I see women of different backgrounds, not African American, different backgrounds, whether from India, from their Arabic and Germany, different places, and I know a lot of them are highly educated, got PhDs. I personally know them, personal friends, but when it comes to when they're dealing with their man, they become they get in a woman's place, which is and I hate to use that word, but submitting to
in a submissive area,
most black women, especially the educated ones, have a real hard time with that, and so. You can't do anything with them.
Trace.
Yeah,
Alex. I was just wanting to, because I was about to go back up in my cubicle, but you know what? the reason I agree with Alex is because if you read, there was a woman that came out with an article about why they should date white men over black men. And the first rule she put in dating him was you're going to have to check the sister girl attitude at the door, as if you can't have an, you can't give him no lip. You can't, they don't want to put up with your lip. So I think that's very interesting. Okay, so but that's what black men don't want, is if you get rid of your lip, a black man will probably give you some acolyte.
Let me throw this into the, let me tell you guys this. And
amen.
Let me say ahead of time, my sister Carla gonna get thrown out the door. What you guys fail to realize is we as women who think that we are educated or whatever, we tend to believe that that white man, I don't have to have my attitude with that black, that with that white man, because I don't have to deal with what I have to deal with a black man, because he's going to come with his own.
According to this article by Cola Booth, billionaires prefer black women.
Who?
Peter Norton married one. Wait, he had this Russian.
They pay for him every day. What do you mean?
It's Russian.
No,
this Russian.
No, they got
this
a
Russian
working
guy.
For him, and
Russian
they,
billionaire.
Becky, in the break room.
Russian. Wait a minute.
We
this Russian
a,
billionaire.
70% of black women are single, man. Come on, man. That don't even make sense.
No. Hold on. 40.
They had a million black women on a plantation, Bianchi. A million of them. They were going through them. They had a million black women on the plantation. They were going through them left and right. That's why we all like.
Yeah, but it wasn't no black. It wasn't no white billionaires then at that time. But that's what
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Billionaires. They went through them like a hot leaf.
White billionaires prefer black women. Now, I may not be talking about American black women, other than Kim. She married. I can't think of her husband's name. That she married. Doggone it. But the. That's what she said.
Let me add, while Priyanki trying to get his thoughts right. Let me just add it. But the man was right about the thing with black women. If you took some men, whatever race and whatever nationality, and you gave that man the ability to go around the world and find him a wife, he would not be looking for no corporate woman. He'd be looking for an Indian Barbie or an Asian Barbie or a black Barbie. He'd be looking for somebody with some certain type of qualities that he's looking for that is visually appealing. And it has nothing to do with him trying to get a woman who got a PhD in education.
Not,
and whatever.
That's true.
That's the last person he'd be looking for.
Nobody wants anyone who's an idiot.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't want an idiot. They want someone.
You don't really care about that.
Why are you dealing in absolutes though? Because Tracy, at the end of the day, black women being called strong or educated is actually a diss, because you don't hear no other race called strong black ones. Strong Asian, strong. You know, white. You don't hear that. It's only black women
say.
Because the norm for black women is pregnant in the hood with on food stamps. So you strong because you ain't on food stamps and you got your bachelor's degree. That's nothing.
The article says there's 7 high-profile engagements between billionaire men and what are supposedly, according to Western culture, the most undesired women on earth, black women. And
man, that's an anomaly, though.
Women,
that's not the norm, though, dude. Why would you read that? That's not even the norm.
Hold on,
these women are more authentically black, in other words, quote, their genes are more African looking and less mixed European is meaningful here. That's what they say.
I didn't know they spent billions of dollars to get a million of black women out of Africa, and they went through them. And it went through them in Brazil, America, wherever. So I don't think it's shocking to see that white men is laying down with black women. That's not shocking. We got a whole historical record.
But then on top of that, y'all ever heard of Hottentot Venus? Like they brought a lady over there and kept in a cage for 5 years, and she died because she had a big black behind. She's from South Africa. The guy told her family he gonna bring her. He just dogged her out. She died in 5 years with all types of diseases. They've always had a novelty with the black woman in her body and the genetics of the black woman and the melanin. That we gonna get into that, but I'm just saying they've always had that. But when it comes down to it, that's a fact.
That's all it is.
That's a fact. They always looked at black women like, man, she got a look at her lips. Look at her. They always do that.
But listen, hold it, guys. If that be the case, then why is it that when you have it, you disrespect it?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I was there. What are you talking about?
Wait, you know what? Oh, what Tracy just did, I saw a little a napped caption on Facebook one time. This girl with a little suit, business suit on, was like, I can't find any good men. Brother standing there with a suit like, am I invisible? Like, okay, you know what they like. Women value, like they say, we run the world. They value what is between their legs, but they're not getting married, so it's not. It don't run the world too much. If it did,
well, you know,
they'll be getting married. So I don't even get that.
The same thing can be said about black men too, because when I'm in certain African countries, you see European women flocking there for sexual tourism.
Yep.
I mean, well, that's another story. That's another show.
No, it's the same story. It's the same story. It's just the flip side of it. Listen. You have the taboo works both ways. Because don't forget that the master's wife was always messing around with having the mandingo coming in the house.
No, she wasn't. They went in.
I don't know where you at. You better, man. I have stories of that coming out of my relatives from the south all the time.
No, you know what they call it? They call it coal in the wood pile.
I've never seen that. That those white women never could look at black men. There was always white men going into.
So you in Alabama, you never heard of the old term coal in the wood pile.
I never did.
Alabama, it wasn't about them looking at it.
Not at all.
I meant dating in any shape, form, or capacity, especially in the 1800s during slavery. Come on, man.
Nobody talking about dating. Let's get it on.
Alabama, that wasn't date. That was rape. You understand that?
It's called scandal nowadays. It's not rape.
White women were held on such a high, pure level that they were angels, they were this, they were that. They'll go run to the black woman, they'll just run to her in a little cabin out there.
A black woman was raped, and so was a black man. And he was raped by both black men, he was raped both by women and men. I think you fail to realize that. Pardon me?
Black men was raped during slavery, too.
That's what I just said. You have to understand. And men were being raped by women and men.
Well, let me drop a grenade and go back upstairs. Y'all, I honestly think a lot of that homosexuality came out of Europe, out of Greece. A lot of it, you know, you can't find it in Africa. You could not find it in Greece. That is not true. Before 1000 BC, blacks didn't get out like that. We ain't get out like that, man. All right.
You're telling the truth, Jeff. You're telling the truth, Jeff.
Not true whatsoever.
Jeff, let me add on this. If you look at the most major religions around the world, India, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, they're all anti-homosexual. The only religions that are pro-homosexual are white religions in Greek and ancient Wicca religions. Those religions are pro-homosexual. All come from white places. All the places that come from black, they're anti.
I got news for you. First of all, you don't have any origination of any religion that did not come out of black people. All religions came out of black people, whether they were taken over by whites later, but they were all as a result of the mixing of people coming from fallen angels. They all were given those belief systems by what people call star people, and their practices were the same. And not only that, you can trace the origin of every last one of them. We gotta have Stephen Quayle come on the show.
You guys are, this has been around for a long time.
Long time.
And it is not race in its origin. It's demonic in its origin. And you gotta separate the demonic does not have a race to it.
Well, anti-homosexuality actually come out of people's ethnic groups' culture before it started coming out. So it's before it even appeared in religion.
Hey, listen, I gotta take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WS.
Harry Beck.
This is an area where...
Let me put it this way, man. I'm going to tell you something. Look, when you start saying that based on the color of somebody's skin, they have certain attributes that go along with them, then you are perpetuating the same lie that the white man has been saying about us.
But that's not true, though. He's saying on a chronological, historical timeline. When you first start experience any recorded information along those lines of homosexuality comes out of Greece and others. And that's true.
But that was South Carolina that said that last season. It wasn't me.
But South Carolina.
If you start saying, well, Asians are smart. All Asians are smart. That's just how they are. They're just smart. No, that's not true. Or you attribute that all black people can run fast. That's not true.
But when you attribute
certain things or say that you made the comment that all those homosexuals and religions that supported homosexuality came from white people. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, dude. There's homosexuals in Africa. There's homosexuals all over the world. Okay? It doesn't make any difference. Perversion does not just start and stop with white people. My point was
not that where it came from. My point was who accepts it. And if you just look around the world, the peoples of color and the religions that originated there.
People of color in the United States are accepting homosexuality. If you don't believe me, look on TV. Look at what Al Sharpton said.
Of course, we support that.
I'm not talking about today, man.
I was talking about what religions and where it came from, who accepted. Today is totally different. Today we live in a society where it is under white.
In other words, when you go back and look at a historical point of view, the societies that accepted homosexuality were European.
Exactly.
Africans never accepted homosexuality as a cultural basis. Now to say that it existed, you probably did have a lot, but you didn't come out with it. Like today in some countries, you better not come out with it. And they tell you that when you come through the airports, it's right there on signs. As you go through customs, there's a sign tell you what's permitted and what's not permitted. Well, at least this, what's not permitted in public.
And that's what I'm saying. Right now, we're living in America under white supremacy. Homosexuality is going to be promoted and accepted. Now, we were under a different kind of supremacy, or we were under some kind of actual freedom or something where people can be what they want to be, then it wouldn't be accepted. That's all I would say. But I think what is amazing about this conversation is that black folks can get together and have a conversation, right? And then there's a lot of things that people on the left, I'm not on the left, but the people on the left and on the right can actually agree on. And, you know, values is not conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican. Certain values is just who we are. I think where Alabama and Iowa started to disagree was that there are certain things about black conservatives who tie themselves to the GOP, and I was saying y'all need to call out the racism, and he just was saying that racism is not important to call out amongst white folks. So, you know, that puts him in line with white supremacists. Because they have the same belief.
Like, I haven't been on this show in about 5 weeks. When I left, y'all was in a heated discussion. I come back, you're still in a heated discussion.
Yeah, I haven't been on this show probably about the same time.
You sound like you're a source for alternative energy.
Yeah, I hadn't listened to this show in a while, man. To me, I listen to them and they don't make any logical sense. It's like they're intentionally being sarcastic and stupid. A lot of times I can't take that. I like to have regular conversation.
At some point, you have to come to the conclusion that
when people want to make their own decisions, rather be asinine or otherwise, they're going to have to accept responsibility for that and not blame it on anybody else. And that's what, you know, stuff that happened, you know, 200 years ago, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just history. So, therefore, we have to make our own way now.
It's Tracy.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff is in studio with me. And this is open mic, and I'm just, I don't know where they are right now. But I was going to say something and I changed my mind. Don't forget that the men's rally in the Valley starts tomorrow, mm-hmm. and it's going to be downtown at the Youngstown Covelli Center, and go visit Dolls on the Antiques and All on the corner of South Avenue and Western Reserve here in the Mahoning Valley. And tell Barbie that you heard it on Tracy and Friends. What are you guys talking about in the room? Jeff, did you want to come back in?
I had a press conference yesterday. I mean,
about
the other
what?
Day.
About what?
Well, I put it there in the room.
I'm not on the chat, man.
In chat room, yeah.
I'm not in the chat, man.
Oh, you saw? I'm in the chat room, but I just saw the one. You put a bunch of them in there.
Why don't you give us a synopsis for those that can't get in the chat?
Yeah, remember we're bigger than
yeah than our
online audience.
Yeah.
Well, I said that, and I'm going to read it. I'm coming out, people. I have an announcement for the press. I, Pianki, is a heterosexual who only desire black women, of which my preference is dark complexion.
How many people showed up to that press conference, man? Did you have anybody at the press conference?
I did it when I went in the barbershop, and you thought I pulled out an AK-47.
You're a courageous young man, Pianki.
I need to pull up a couple calls. 240, your mic is on.
At the barbershop.
yeah, 240.
Hello.
Hello. Chicago.
Hey,
yeah.
How are you, Tracy? Yeah.
I'm good. How are you?
All right, and I see you guys talking about this conversation. Earlier part, I agree with Jeff. You know, the whites look at black women still during the slavery times where they had you on the side and raping you and had their white woman married to. So nothing has changed. It's still going to be the same thing.
I'm telling y'all it's going to change.
Without the rape part.
Okay, I'm not talking about the rape. I'm talking about just the serious mindset of the Americans, the Americans'
well,
future. Because your thing is,
they systematically destroyed the black male, so that just leaves the black woman fending for themselves and their kids. So with the decrease of the black males in America, and the white man can just use you as a plaything here in America. And you're just left as
a Chicago,
for yourself and your kids,
sweetie. But this is what I'm saying to you. In a America that we are headed into, you are seeing the wipeout of the black male,
yes.
The rise of the African American woman. Those that do rise, we're not talking about those that stay where they are. That are going to die from HIV and AIDS.
They're not
going to
marry a black woman like Jeff said. They're going to have you as a plaything. And also, as
look
at the statistics, though.
That's what I'm listening to.
They're marrying Asian women. They're marrying Latino women.
Listen to what I'm saying. They're marrying Asian women. They're marrying Latino women. But your suburban African American is going to your suburban African American female is going to assimilate into the white culture,
into lesbian culture.
Some
other perversion.
No, sweetheart, I didn't say lesbian. Don't make my word yours.
That's what they're talking about.
Don't add your commentary to my dictionary. That's not what I said.
I will pause and listen to you.
I
listen
said,
to your fantasy.
This is not a fantasy.
This is a
go ahead, black woman. Go ahead, black woman.
You know what?
Claim
no,
your
listen,
white man.
Polina,
go ahead,
Polina,
claim
Polina,
him.
Polina. You know what? I can tell you what.
No,
I
don't cut it.
Go ahead, finish talking. What's going on?
Because what I'm saying is you see it culturally inside of your media.
Now the only reason why I'm going to take not such a hard stance on what I said is because you are a black woman and you are in the circles that you know that you see some things maybe
not
happening.
Not only that, I'm watching your media. I'm watching your television. And if you look at what's happening on your television, you will see what they're trying to tell you, what direction they're going in. And you see
I think
you
agree
you
on that, though, Tracy. Everybody agree on that.
Colvina, shut up!
I'm trying to answer you and trying
to think at the same time. Then I'll be quiet, and then you can go head on and rant. But what I'm saying is you see it happening within your media. You see it happening within your shows. You see the assimilation, and you see them getting away from one, going to another. And when you look at your news programs, and you see who they're choosing for them, and then you
I'm
go find out who they're married to.
Yes.
Tracy.
Now you're talking.
Yeah,
now you're on it.
Hey, Tracy, I agree with you 100%.
You see them moving this way because actually they're getting – the white woman is becoming a lesbian. The black woman is getting more Europeanized. The other black women, they don't care where they go, and the rest of them are going to prison.
Yeah.
You just see it.
Well, like I said, because I am not a black woman and I'm not in, inside the circles that you're in right now, I can say this. You may have a slight trending in some areas. But I do not believe for one minute, really, that upper echelon white men are going to start taking upper echelon black women.
This is what I'm saying. You're saying upper echelon. I'm saying just your middle class.
Oh, no.
No.
Let me add in there before y'all go.
Hold on, because we need to define what middle class is, Jeff.
What, $50,000 for blacks is about $40,000 a year.
No, I think that's not – I'm not talking about that middle class. I'm talking about your mid-level six figures.
And your management people.
Your management people.
Okay, your management, your politicians, you're talking about that ruling class
right,
like that.
Right.
Not
but them women are all old. There ain't no young women in that group. They're the ones that got those positions back during the heyday of civil rights. They're going to be retiring and collecting pensions. There ain't none coming behind them.
I only need to have three children, two and a half children by a white man for my children to assimilate into a white world to move on.
You ain't going to get that, dear.
That's not true.
I would like to add. Let me add in, Jeff, before y'all go back.
No.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I just wanted to say in a mixed race debate, what's going to happen is blacks are going to be encouraged to marry Hispanics. Black women are not going to marry upper echelon white men to a large degree. And what's going to happen to America, the American population, is going to look more like populations you see in South America, where you see a large mixed race population, but the white population is still in control of the country. And that's the way North America is going to go eventually. And if someone is of mixed race, they're going to be allowed to check that off on the census form. So the mixed race population is going to separate from the black population.
Yes, that's okay. That's what I'm talking about. What they do is, where all you guys are right on the money, what they do is, They take an interracial black woman, one that's already mixed with her, and then their babies come out white. Look at Halle Berry's babies. Look at Soledad O'Brien's babies. Those are people who claim to be black, but their kids are white. So that's the one they choose to mix with. The other ones,
sweetheart.
What
I'm saying is it's already happening with black women because remember the huge when you say. When the hues of our skin are like the colors of a rainbow, we are everywhere. And you already see it in major cities. It is not uncommon to see
Yes.
It's a common decision.
The main racial group that black women are going to be allowed to intermarry with will be men who are Hispanic. Hispanic men.
No.
Will,
Hispanic.
No such thing as allowed, man. It's not allowed, dude. This is America. You can do what you want to do. It has reasons.
But all I'm saying is that upper echelon white men are not going to marry black women in large numbers.
And Hispanics ain't neither.
Yeah, neither are they.
That's not going to happen.
That's absolutely the truth.
What is upper echelon?
Yeah, we already know that. So we'll be on that part.
I'm saying education levels are what's going to determine the echelon, because you already have this thing set up by these progressives, which is the ruling class. They want a governmental ruling class, and so that's what we're looking at.
Yeah,
always had one of those.
And the governmental ruling class in countries like Brazil is still men who are white, who have some type of European descent, and that's still going to be the rule here in North America as well.
It continues to be that's conservative.
I disagree with you there, because they're not going to be able to do anything with what you just said, because the white population is on is in decline, and so therefore the Hispanic population is going to be the dominant population, and the Asian. They're not going to assimilate with black people. They're going to finish rubbing black people out.
Guys, go back to my original statement.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to wipe black people out.
They've been doing that. There's been a war on black folks for 5,000 years.
And I said, and the blacks that will be left will assimilate, and the black women are going to assimilate in with their children.
Like Soledad O'Brien.
Like Soledad O'Brien.
Like right. And like,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
Of them, they're going to go in. They're going to have these children. They're going to assimilate in, and anything else is going to be left behind. And they're
then there's no black women. Then there is
that's
no black
what
people.
I'm
exactly.
Saying.
Okay, well, then
not
we're
in
on the
America.
Same page.
Not
we're
in America.
We're on the
America.
Same page. Then.
Yeah, not
what
in
they
America.
Do is every.
Yeah.
This is what they do. This is what they do. They reward the black man for putting on the dress and acting like a faggot. Did they reward the white man, the black woman, for sleeping with a white man? So if you have a white, like she was saying earlier, check the people who are on the news. Those black women that get on the news, get in prominent positions, they all got what? A white
man
in the bed.
Now,
they
let me make a huge point. Let me make a huge point with you right here, Kavina Man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Who's doing that?
What do you mean who, man? We already know
who's
who.
Right. Who congratulated this man? Did Sean Hannity call and congratulate that man?
Who?
I don't know.
This is being a man's question only. Did Sean Hannity call and congratulate the basketball player for coming out and said he did a courageous thing?
It was your president that you
said is not on the side of white supremacy. Now let me ask you another question. Did Rush Limbaugh call and commend him for coming out?
That's not their job.
You always come with this phrase and always want to blame it on conservatives. And it ain't conservatives that's screwing you. It's your own people that y'all vote for every single election day. And you're going to do it again because you ain't getting it.
No, listen. Okay,
Let me ask Jeff real quick. Okay, Kavina Man, make it quick. Go ahead.
You don't want to fight with just a right hook or a left hook. It takes combos. Then Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity to take care of one part. And then people promoting gays also from the other part. It's a two-handed weapon, man. It's a two-handed weapon.
But, for Obama to come out and commend this guy was really
or hypocritical because the man was engaged to Carolyn Woos or Moose for what a number of years, and while he was engaged with her, he was on the down low with other guys.
Well, he wasn't being true to himself because he wanted his ball players to like him. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in real quick that I think the notion that they are going to wipe us black people out it's a conversation that we've been having for over 100 years. And I think that it's a failure to understand, again, white supremacy. You know,
I'm Mark Lavoie, W.
Executive. Hello? Are we still there?
Yeah, we are. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're here.
Like, let me give you just a quick example, like with the Nation of Islam and Malcolm X. Like, they were really irritated with him when they were like, well, we just want our own land. We'll go back to Africa or we'll just have our own land and we'll do our thing and you do your thing. They hated them for that because, you know, you would think that, well, if they really hated us, well, they would be happy if we want to leave. But see, that's not what white supremacy is about. It's about control. And so if all the black people went away and just, you know, melted together, then who would have to do the work then? They would have
to.
So that's why it's never going to happen. That's why
it's
all
about
the maintain.
Don't believe
this
that.
Listen to where it originated, how this came about. We need to recognize that you are 13% of the population now, 12.5. In 2050, the way things are going, we're going to be at the same place. You see the white population declining, and you see the Hispanic population growing. And you have Mitt Romney who goes out and tells white kids who are graduating from college to go out and have as many babies as he possibly can so that they can have perpetuity.
Yeah, but
okay.
you have to look at history, though. Look at the nation of Cuba. Cuba,
right.
You know, even but let's say before Fidel and even today, I mean, it was majority what you would call Afro-Cuban, black, and it was or mixed. It was 80% of the country was either mixed, half black and white, or just straight African. And it was only a minority, 10 to 20% of the people who owned all the land and who,
okay,
you know, and was running things. And it was pretty much an American puppet government. And it was, if you thought Jim Crow was bad in the South, here, it was many times worse in Cuba. And that's the government
right now when you go to Cuba as a black man, you don't see too many Africans there.
That's not true.
Yeah, you do. Oh my God.
No,
that's
not true.
You got
80%
of the population
are
a lot of black people
really?
In Cuba. Afro-Cubans.
Hold on, I'll take the clarity of it.
Mm-hmm.
But now with what you're saying, how
I'm
do
just
you
saying
do
my
this
point with- is that you my only point is that, like, just look at Cuba. If when you have a mindset in the people of who are brainwashed with white supremacy, it doesn't matter even if they're 2% of the population. If everybody is still convinced about white supremacy, then that minority group will still maintain control, and that's what's going
to happen. My question is, going back to what Alex said, when I talk about the erosion of the African-American population, you cannot put your seed inside a prison and let it die there. The babies who are here abort them, and the ones who make it through don't educate them and think you're going to have perpetuity because you're just not going to have it.
Uh-huh. But you know what white supremacy
is. They're going to assimilate outside of it. They're going to assimilate out into the mainstream. They're going to leave whatever else is there behind and let them die off. And we're going to ask
what caused them to die off.
What caused them to die off? Because this affordable health care is going to kill you if you don't
kill
you.
Absolutely.
And then
but you know
white
what?
Men know
oh.
that they have a
oh
position of power in society based upon their race.
Yeah.
A large numbers of them are not going to seek out black women as wives.
Tracy, let me make a comment, please.
I'm going to take a break. So y'all can make as many comments
Hang
as you
on
want
real
in a
quick.
Minute.
Real quick. But the thing is, Alex, is that they don't need black folks for working. What they
no.
are afraid of
they
is the
Hispanic.
Wait a
they
minute.
Latino.
No, not anymore.
Well, let me finish. What they don't want is blacks as a competition.
That's
against
what's
going
on. The point is.
Yeah.
Economic competition.
Right.
And so when you say this, when you're saying this, I'm saying, and this, I'm done. We need to understand that what's going on here when you talk about, you know, racism and talk about parties and you talk about conservatism. Until you start standing on your own 2 feet and quit going to the abortion clinics, take care of the children that you have and get an education, you're going to die.
But also, you know, what you're leaving out is the Hispanic population puts white skin on a pedestal. So the white Hispanics have greater power over Hispanics that are brown in complexion or black. So the Hispanic population has a white supremacy inside that population as well.
You're absolutely right.
Correct, sir, correct.
Black, just listen to LaRaza talk.
What they still need black folks for is to be in that prison industrial complex, because that employs the police, the judges, lawyers, jail housing people. They need black folks to be students and they need black folks to be a patient.
But the only way you can keep black folks from going into those institutions that you just mentioned, you got to have something other for them to do than get caught up in those traps.
White supremacy is right there.
They are not going to do that. And I don't blame them.
But Pianki,
that's
the failure of your black millionaires and billionaires to have the resources, not creating economic.
I don't think that they got the money, but they don't
America
have.
What Black should have done is follow what Marcus wanted to do, is go back to Africa and redevelop Africa.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Not want to integrate with you. The white
not all of them, John.
Not want to integrate with you.
Yeah, you don't want all of them, because blacks form economic markets here in this country. You're Jackson,
yeah,
Mississippi,
right.
You're Mississippi. Yeah, that's what
we're
talking
right.
about.
But the blacks who are in this country, they should have followed
that has
the
skills.
Of Booker T. Washington and built their own institutions first, and then tried to do business in the country. But a large
that's
number
they
of black,
they had those race riots to took care of all that back in 1920.
To Liberia and help to rebuild Africa, because the way America works, you have to have a nationality, you have to have a cultural identity before you go into the country.
Not only that, before they respect you.
Right.
They don't respect you if white man is already taking care of damn near a large portion of your babies and your baby's mamas.
Right. And you can't go to white people and beg for things. You have to build things on your own.
Then
well,
a lot of these black millionaires never built their shit anyway. They got employed by whites and worked for whites and became rich. Not all of them, but most of them.
But they got the skills, Alex. I mean, like I did. Hell, how many black steel erectors you know that's putting up 40-story office buildings that own their own company? So once you get those skills, you're supposed to come out and start competing against those you working for.
Yeah,
I think what Alex is saying, though, is black folks are going to just be dependent upon somebody else, just like they're dependent on the government or white man. If you're relying on black millionaires to do something for you, then you don't have the incentive to do it yourself.
As long as you have a black-driven, matriarchal society, ain't a damn thing going to happen. Trust
me,
because you're going to have to. Let me finish, because you will have the mindset of a woman who will always sell out for security. She'll sell her freedom for a little bit of security all the time.
No,
why you had that matriarchal society is because of what happened during the Johnson program,
right.
but because before black men worked.
But that's the reason, just because we are here talking about it, which tells you that it's not going to stay the same. I mean, it's an idea whose time has come cannot be stopped.
But Pianki, what you've got is you've got this circle here, and we don't all agree. We don't all agree, and that's fine. But what you've got is outside of this circle, you've got idiots out there like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and that whole group.
They're going to fall by the wayside, believe me, brother.
That talented
our circle. Our circle is duplicated many places around this country. I'm finding them. I just sit back and listen, and don't even chime in. So, you know, when you're talking about something, yeah, when we talk about this, we ain't the only one that's talking about this. But believe me, blacks are starting to talk about these economic issues. You know, you can get into the midst of black conversation and everybody agree on economic issues. No matter if they're Republicans, they're independents, or Democrats, they agree on the economic issues. And one of our big problems, we have let intruders come into our economic markets and they take control of it. And that's a bunch of crap.
And not only that, let me just say this real quick. Not only that, we agree on the economics. Probably everything else we're talking about, we also agree on. The only thing that it sticks out is that you might have some people who have some type of black religion or some people that might be a black Republican. Other than that, you just put people in a room, don't put labels. We probably all agree on it. We all don't like homosexuals. We all don't like other whatever it is. We all got the same view. We just call ourselves something different.
But wait a minute, what's wrong with a black Republican?
I'm just saying, it just sticks out like a black Israelite or something like that.
Is that you don't have any control of the resources, so you don't have anything to deserve.
Dude, that has nothing to do. Your ideology has nothing to do with the fact that you're black.
Well, I want to call themselves a conservative. That means that they have some say-so as to how the economy is being run or what resources are conserved and so forth. And blacks have no role in that.
It has nothing to do with the color of my skin.
No, the only difference is with black conservatives is that you guys overlook white racism and the rest of us don't. Then you guys are.
We've already had that conversation, man.
That's the only difference. That's the only difference.
We've had this conversation where you talk about we overlook racism, but all this racism you're experiencing from the folks that you want to align yourself with, folks that won't even
You will never hear me overlook racism. That's one thing. You just making something up. You will never hear me talk about that. I'm the main one to come over here every day and talk about race deficiency.
I don't care what party you in. A racist don't care what party you in. He can be in the Republican.
Exactly. Thank you. They don't care.
They have one objective. And the thing is, with black folks have a lot of skills and entrepreneurial and come up with things. The thing is that you don't have the black people with the resources. They're not risk takers with their money. So when somebody white comes along that are risk takers and finance, and see the potential that those blacks have and see they know they can market it, do the networks or whatever distributing they have to make the money back, that's how they make their money. So you have no risk takers. Let me finish. You have no more risk takers of blacks that have the resources. You have a few, but not many, to take chances on their own people that come up with this stuff. And that is the problem with blacks here in America.
And here's the thing, along with that, Chicago, an entrepreneur is the best way I can explain an entrepreneur is he's crazy because he thinks so far outside of the box that people look at him like it's not making any sense. Man, you want to try and do what? You want to try and sell what? I mean, just give an example. Ronco. You ever heard of Ronco? Remember the fellow that got on TV and sold that Ronco Whopper Chopper thing years ago. I think Bianchi might remember it. Yeah, Chop-O-Matic. Man, you got that thing home, man. That was the most simplest product that you've ever. But he marketed it, and he turned a product that he invented in his garage into a corporation that still exists today. How many people that you know that have inventions or have ways of doing things but sit on it? And they don't think outside of the box. There's resources out there. You can leverage what you know to get the resources that you need. You just got to go, and you don't have to have all one big knot from one person. You can get it from 17.
I read in the newspaper a few blacks that have certain inventions and everything, but I guarantee you their money to continue to let it grow won't come from somebody black. So
yeah,
it's stuff from somebody white because they're going to be the risk takers of inventions. They're going to pull money out of their pocket and fund it, and they're going to make their money back because they're going to be able to distribute it to different markets, either here, China, or wherever. But blacks in America do not do that anymore. You have Magic Johnson, you have a few others that do that. But you don't have a cohesiveness of a lot of blacks with the money that don't do it. So they lose out, and then that's why blacks don't have control over the markets. You have to take a risk.
Yeah, right. You got to take risks. And that's what being an entrepreneur is all about, taking risks. And the blacks, for the most part, if they have the money, their money is tied up in a white corporation.
That's
they
right.
They don't have individual money to take risks with. That's why I'm saying the whole notion of black conservative is more of an oxymoron, because blacks don't have the resources to be conservative.
I got to disagree with you guys on that. Hey, you said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you on that. I mean, because I wouldn't consider myself rich by any means. I mean, I do pretty good, but you know, I think it's just a lot. Some of it is education, what we're taught. We're fooled into thinking that money is actually printed, and that money comes from a bank. We don't realize that things don't cost money. Things just cost other things. And so, you know, and part of it is because they've corrupted our monetary system where, it makes you think that. But when we had a gold standard, you know, anybody could finance whatever they wanted from by their own labor, but it's very difficult to do that anymore. But I can tell you that, though, that you know, I have different investments. I have a few different businesses that are actually moving, operating. You know, and it wasn't because I had all this capital infused from some white guy. It was because I sought out other people who thought like me, had the same drive, and we put our resources together to develop some business investments, you see. So I don't think that just, you know, being black conservative is an oxymoron. I don't know. I don't really agree with that. I mean, I just sought out other people with conservative values.
But what people can do on an individual level, that's more of a relative type situation. I'm talking about on a large scale. Blacks do not have the financial resources to support a large type of business venture. When blacks say that they're conservative, they're talking about they're more of a social conservative. They're not talking about like anything dealing with finances or like
That's
anything dealing with the economy.
That's not true. That's not true at all. We're talking about being fiscal.
Because the majority of them are not in a position take a stand in those types of issues,
but it's not. You are in a position to take that kind of stand, even if you don't benefit from it today. You know, just because you don't have the money, when you look at the numbers, if you can read the numbers, you can become fiscally conservative just by the sheer fact of not wanting to be in debt like that, and understanding the numbers. And once you understand the numbers, and you see when entitlement programs are raping the future of America, yet you're pouring into areas that are not benefiting the people that live there, you can become a fiscal conservative.
Yeah, but the majority of people who are in that category, they're not talking about, like, individual people that make investments and they're able to get a small business. They're talking about a fiscal policy that involves, you know, large types of corporations in the country.
No, they're not.
As to how they pay taxes and as to how people who are very wealthy pay taxes.
Because black Americans are not in those categories. I don't have
so
to be
black
in
Americans
the category.
Talk about conservatism, they talk about social conservatism.
But what I'm saying to you is I don't have to be in that category to comprehend it.
But what he just said
is true.
Most of them are not there financially.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
But that doesn't mean that you are not a fiscal conservative.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's what black people are talking about when they say conservatism. They're considering the Democrat conservatives of the South back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. That's what they're considering. And they consider that anybody that calls himself a conservative is of that branch, which is not true. Because don't forget, the white conservatives were the ones that were voting for civil rights in our Congress. Okay? So you have to understand that you have a misdirection of what conservatism is and who the conservatives are. And that's what's causing this so easy progressive sweep of political office.
I don't think they're deep. I don't think they're that smart.
No, it's not that they're not that smart. But anyway, I mean, it is.
South Carolina, I think you were saying something too.
And now everybody disappears.
No, Chicago's there. Hold on, Philadelphia. Let me go through. Go ahead, Chicago.
Well, I know you guys talking about politics, but specifically for blacks, I think they shouldn't vote 92% or 98% democratically. I don't think they should. But their main thing is that they're economically uneducated. When you could be the third largest economy in the world, and you have one or two little small businesses in your area, and you have every other ethnic group that is raping your neighborhoods blind economically, that's a problem. You're not working cohesively economically to build businesses in your areas and control those markets. So economically, you don't have a voice. You're just a consumer. And every other race likes that because your money, makes them have money in their pocket.
But that is from our own ignorance. And let me say this. I don't think we ought to vote 92% anything. We need to be educated when we vote. And right now we are voting and we're not educated when we go to the ballot box, whether it be for our local races or from our national races. See, 92, we should not be monolithic anyway. There's no way that the richest African-American in the world should be just as liberal or conservative as the poorest man in the world and have the same issues today in the African-American community. This doesn't make sense.
Well, it looks bad towards the whole race, even if you're a rich black, especially if you come from these poor economic neighborhoods and you see the destruction economically, what's happening here, and the social issues of what's happening with the black males in America. It shows you the lack of concern with even your black people that may want to secede either financially, education-wise, and it's no way out for them. Or the way they are at is even no way to see where they're at. And it is a problem that especially your successful blacks, they know this is a big problem, but you have someone in their ear. The people that give them a check to look the other way, and that's a big problem.
I understand where you're coming from. I do. But until African-Americans become educated, remember, the dumbing down of the African-American and the dumbing down of the American soda. The dumbing down.
Control, when someone is controlling your finances and your money is giving you a paycheck, and they also in your ear telling you what you got to do, and you do this, you do that, and you can't do that, then you're totally been sold your whole morals and yourself out for the dollar bill to live next to upper class people. And
that comes from lack of education, lack of knowledge. We don't even know who we are anymore.
Yeah, we don't. We don't have an identity.
We don't. I mean, we don't know who we are. And when I'm talking about individually as well as collectively, we have no identity. We know nothing. We're just walking around aimlessly, going nowhere, with no direction, with no focus, and following anybody that comes out and says rah rah, that has a Democrat Party suit on, whether it be the unions or whether it be President Barack Obama, and we don't question anyone about anything. So we have no more critical thinking. And so here we are in 2013, back in slavery again. But now we're conditioned to it, and we don't even fight because we like it here.
Well, anyway, you know, here it is. You know, we're so stupid. I have a friend of mine that is.
Pull your mic up.
Okay, I have a friend of mine that is, you know, always trying to prove that Republicans are wrong and Democrats are right and good. And it's so stupid of an argument to try to get that done. I mean, that's a stupid argument. You know, why? Because of one thing. Because of one thing. Nobody is going to be 100% good for you. You're caught in the middle of it all. Go ahead.
But I was gonna say, but that again, that comes from ignorance.
That's my point. It's a stupid argument. You argue stupid points with when you're ignorant of the facts. That's the whole thing. You get emotional. You add emotion to this thing, and it's just crazy. It's just real crazy.
And because of ignorance and because of the lack of identity. You know, people who are trying to find their identity, they will do anything. And we have none. We are really messed up in the head.
Well, at this point, blacks are walking zombies. They won't be totally destroyed from America. They'll still be here. But they are walking zombies. So you have no... You have no economic base. You have no political power. The people that you feel that's going to do something politically and put some policies in for you get into office, and then they act like they don't even know you. So,
but the thing is, we're like a battered wife. We accept it. So, but you know, he didn't mean to. He loves me still. He told me he did. He sent me in a phone. I got a phone, so I'm okay, because he wanted me to call him.
And the thing is that you're, I hate to say this, but also your religious part also is destroyed too and controlled. So if your religious and your morals, your churches are being controlled, then you have no... self, like you said, identity, or to move in a certain direction to make a group of people to succeed.
And you know what makes it so bad when you say that? I can't disagree with you when you talk about, and when I say religious institution, I'm just going to say the straight out black church. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Tracy, the slavery was a bad thing for our ancestors, but I came to believe that we were really all under slavery, in physical sense.
Steve, don't go there. No,
well, we are, because we're under sin and death. And
Steve, no, we're not going there.
Freedom will be.
Steve, no, we're not going there. And I'm not going to the, no, I'm not doing it today. Not doing it. 518, your mic is on.
Trace, I don't know what y'all talking about. All I know is I just rode by some black kids. Now, I'm sorry for those of you that want to be correct. I rode by some ignorant black kids. And Trace, I got to call it this. I rode by some niggas. All right? Some niggas.
We can't do that on here, Rick. I have to, Jeff. Because you know that's degrading. It's not. It's not right.
And I wouldn't let anybody else call him and do that.
And call you that.
No. Hey, Jeff, listen. I have to. You know why? I'm a black man calling another black man.
No. Get to the point, Rick. Before I hang up on you too.
No, wait. This is my point, Tracy. You really think that y'all gonna save the world when you ride by these ignorant black men? And they riding my. Let me tell you what they listen to. They got the music blasting, and it's the song. I'm a F yo B, and
oh, yeah.
And after that's what they said. That's what the song said. I'm a F yo B, and after I F yo B, you better not F my friend. Now that was the chorus line to the song. All right. Now you tell me, how you gonna save them? How you gonna save them? How you gonna get them to go out and make an educated vote decision? You don't. They're beyond saving.
Rick.
Hey Jeff, that bothered
Rick.
Me. That bothered me. Why? Why?
They deserve
the treatment they get. I'm sorry. They do.
Rick.
They deserve to be stereotyped. They deserve it.
No, they don't, because it's not their fault.
It is their fault.
You know what? Where they know any different at? Who's teaching them any different?
But you know why it's their fault? Because they still have an opportunity to be different,
don't.
even though they aren't being taught different. You still have an opportunity to be different.
Rick.
It's
no,
their
Rick,
fault.
No, you don't. And we need
I'm
to understand.
I'm blaming them.
It's not their fault. Look at what we're talking about. Look at what's going on in the world today. Look at what we're promoting. Look at where we're going. Look at what we actually applaud. Look at what we actually.
I just rolled by it, Tracy.
I don't care. Listen, you can. It doesn't matter. Look at what we're doing. Look at what we are actually rewarding today. Look at what we are selling them. Look at what our parents are letting them watch. We gotta have compassion on them because they don't know any better. And as a matter of fact, their mama might have bought them the CD.
I want them to understand. I love them. But in my love, the correction that has to come because I love them, it's got to be harsh and stern and cruel.
You can't.
I love them.
I am not your child. You can't. You can't.
Oh,
I'm not your child.
Hold on.
692, your mic is on.
Hi. Is it windy out where I'm at? Sorry.
Yeah, a little
windy.
Bit. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm hearing is that, you know, Republicans lose elections to the Democrats because blacks vote 92% Democrat.
No. And
then you say, well, it's not Republicans' fault for a poor candidate that blacks can't identify with, okay?
No, we didn't say that at all. I don't know. What show are you listening to?
Well, what you're saying is blacks vote Democrat because they're ignorant. Blacks are voting Democrat. If they were just educated right, they'd vote Republican, okay?
No. Let me ask him, please. No, Mr. Carter.
Okay.
No, that's not what we said. We're saying that 90% of the 98% vote in one party is being demagogued by one side over the other because they lie to them. They lie to them about what the other side is.
If Mitt Romney, who's got $250 million, never worked a day, you know, a silver spoon, that's what the black community is supposed to identify with is him over a community organizer who is black, okay?
You are a complete idiot, my friend, and this is why I'm saying it like this. What in the world has Barack Obama done for those 98% black people that we're talking about here? What has he done for them? He's given gay people gay rights. He's given Hispanics getting ready to give them what they want. Now, what has he done for those black people, and why are they fawning and falling out over him about nothing that he's done? He's going to put them deeper in debt. With Obamacare, he's already raised their taxes.
What? They're not going to pay for Obamacare.
Yes,
the rich are going to pay for Obamacare.
The working black poor are going
to pay for it. They're working black poor. They can't pay for anything. That's the point.
I'm in the barbershop And I heard several of my friends talk about how their health care costs have gone up astronomically since January, and they didn't know what happened because they thought Obamacare was supposed to reduce the cost of that thing.
Well, that's funny because Obamacare doesn't even go into effect until 2014.
I got the
2014, it doesn't go into effect.
Once again, I told them that this was going to happen because it was impossible for you to squat 60 million people onto a roll only made for half of the people you got already getting health care. So now they are going through it. They're going to get hurt bad as a result of this man they fell out over and voted for because somebody told them Mitt Romney was a racist and didn't like him.
No one said Mitt Romney was a racist. Mitt Romney said himself that those 47% of people are leeches and they leech off society, and he doesn't care about that 47% of the population, which is a large majority of African-American communities. He said it himself. Mitt Romney said himself, I'm not racist. It's not about race. He's saying 47% of society, I don't care about. I don't care. I'm not going to even go after
that. That's not what he said. That was not the quote. That was not the quote. So don't take the quote out of context because that's what he said. What he said was 47% were not going to vote for him because of entitlement programs. That's what he said.
And he said that at that $20,000 a plate dinner, I'm not going after that vote.
And that's what he said.
That's what he said.
He didn't care about them in the context,
was not concerned about them. Mitt Romney gave away tons of money to poverty stricken people across the world. Don't start stupidity.
Sure.
Let me slow this down for you so you can really get a clear understanding of what's happening here. If 98% of white people voted on one side, there would be a problem. If 98% of Hispanics voted on one side, there would be a problem. But 98% of African Americans vote Democrat straight down ticket. When you look at what happens into the stronghold of political ignorance, they are being misguided because they don't understand that they are Democrat voters and not Democrats. So when it comes
saying they're being lied to, and if they were just told the truth, they'd vote Republican.
Listen, I want you to understand. You've never heard me say I want everyone to vote all Republican. You've never heard me say that, have you?
You just want some of them,
Listen. What I told them is I want you to pay attention to the vote that you make, and make it based on what you need. So listen to what I'm saying. If you don't understand what you're voting for, then you're just voting for the donkey on the wall. You are not voting for what your issues are, and if you're going to vote that way in a block, make sure you're going to get what you have to get out of it. But when you look at the economic plight of the inner cities where African Americans and poor people or underserved people live, what you're seeing is an overshooting shift of the election, and they're not getting anything for it.
They're getting free health care now.
No, they're
all right.
Not.
Listen
to what I'm saying. You're not going to get anything free.
Somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to pick up the tab for the poor.
The people that are going to pay for it is going to be the people it's the people who cannot afford to pay for it.
What? Wait, how is that possible? That's a contradiction. The people who are going to pay for it are the people who can't pay for it? No.
Tracy, let me say this, dude. I just did my taxes, okay? You know what the lady told me? Next year, my tax bill will increase $1,583 because I got four dependents, okay? I got to make sure each one of them folks have insurance, or else I'm going to have an additional $1,500. On my taxes, on top of what I've already paid. Now, who's going to pay for it? And I'm a long way from being rich.
And If you look at someone making over $750,000, which I'd classify as wealthy, $750,000, their bill will increase by $50,000. Okay, so yours is $1,500, theirs is $50,000. Who's paying for it? Who's paying for it?
And you know what makes sense? What makes it crazy? And this is what makes your whole argument psycho. You're okay with somebody having to pay $50,000 an increase so that other people
you're telling me someone that makes what the craziness of the argument is that you're trying to paint these people that live in such poverty and live such fat cat lives on $15,000 a year that they're sucking the system dry when you've got people making $100 million a year and doing nothing but moving paper from one side of the desk to the other
side
of the desk.
Can I call them a name, please?
No.
Okay.
Listen.
Let me. You have no. It comes off as you have no compassion for these people.
Are you crazy? You are out of your cotton picking mind. I am not. You are must be psycho.
When you make these arguments,
you are not listening to the argument. The argument is, people are getting what they do not deserve, but voting for something that they think they're going to get. And just because you send me a free phone that I don't need does not mean that I have something.
Right, so you're saying that everyone that gets a free phone, Obama bought all these votes with free phones. There's something that they got out of it.
But if you don't get it, if you don't get an education with your free phone, all you got is a whole lot of hot air.
One statement. You're an excellent demagoguer of the left, and what you do is you take a answer to part of a question and make it the whole dialogue. That's not what we're doing, and you're lying.
724, your mic is on.
Lying.
724, your mic is on.
And another thing, Tracy.
Chicago, hold on. 724, your mic is on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
It's Dr. Hill.
Hey, Dr. Hill.
I think I was talking about health care.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
You want to add to this conversation?
Right now, I just turned the radio on, so I'm not sure where y'all have gone with it. I'm just curious. Well, what's the subject matter as far as health care is concerned?
We were just saying that health care is the cost that it's going to take and what's going to happen and how African-Americans vote 98% one way but don't get anything for the 98% vote that they do block.
Well,
it is a problem.
I tell you something that people do not realize. It was something I was reading yesterday in a newspaper. What's going to happen in places where Medicaid is expanded, this is what in essence happens. When you have a Medicaid card, that means you can go to the doctor anytime you want not to have to pay anything. So, hence, if something is given to you for free, you're going to overuse the heck out of it. You're not paying for it. So, in essence, that's going to probably end up running up the health care costs even more.
Who pays the bulk of those costs?
I'll give you a case in point. I will see a patient typically who will come into my office just for a pregnancy test. Well, my response will be, well, why didn't you just go to Walgreens and get a pregnancy test? And you know what the answer is? Well, this is free. So why pay, whatever the cost is for a home pregnancy test so I can come to my doctor's office and get it done for free?
And they also go to the emergency room for the same rate, the same reason.
Right, but in essence, that's an abuse. That's wasting money. But that's what happens now. So imagine that's going to increase whatever fold, which is something that hasn't been given much thought to.
Oh, there's a whole lot. There's a whole lot coming down the pike, and it's going to affect everyone, and it's going to affect the underserved. And when you're looking at the unemployment of the underserved, and especially the African-American community, and you look at the skyrocketing of prices and the inflation that's going on that no one's talking about, you are looking for something, you're looking into something that you're not having anything to do with, and your education and your access to economic development is not there for you, and you're not asking for it because of an ignorant electorate, and that's a problem.
Well, I think now the Christian family is running the White House now.
Chicago. Hold up. I got four more calls. 716, your mic is on. 330-716.
That's me.
Okay, 724-624-624. There's someone that pushed the button. Philadelphia.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, what the doctor said is definitely going to happen with Obamacare and the individual mandate in the sense that you have to pay a tax now for your health care, and then each state is going to get their Medicaid expanded. So you're going to have a lot of people who were uninsured before who will get insurance from the states for free. And that's going to be an extra burden on the taxpayers who are wealthy. And they're the ones who are going to pay the bulk of the bill.
But actually, it's not going to be the ones that are wealthy that are going to have to that are going to pay it. It's going to be that middle class, that those people that are in that hovering in that two, that 75 to that, you know, that increase to that $1 million. It's going to be the bulk of them.
Not going to be the Prisker family.
It's not going to be the richest. The rich people, they're going to find a way to pay their bill and not give away any more money to their philanthropic group and call it a day. Local call, your mic is on.
Yes, I'd like to discuss Medicare.
Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Good.
I'm Social Security and Medicaid. I am Social Security. Medicaid, if you own anything and you take Medicaid, it's welfare. And if you own something, at the end of your time, they step in and get their money back on Medicaid. And this is a sad situation for everybody.
It certainly is. Listen, I got to take a break. The phone lines are on. South Carolina, handle the phones on the Internet.
Do what?
I got it. Hello?
Yes.
Who all there?
Yeah, hello. Yeah. Yeah, the individual mandate is what you're talking about, where you're paying more for health care coverage for all of your dependents.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
Well, the individual mandate.
Yeah, that's
a
part of the health care
law
where you have to pay. You have to pay a tax. Essentially, the government is taxing you. You have to pay that type penalty to get health care, and if you don't pay it, if you get a tax refund at the end of the year, the government will take the cost of your health care out of your tax refund.
Now, does that make any sense, Philadelphia?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what everybody's going to have to do in 2014. The government's going to make you pay something, and it's going to be a flat fee of $95 per year. You have to pay a flat fee of $95.
No, buddy, trust me. It's going to be more than $95 because that lady told me that it's going to be $1,583.
Yes. Well,
okay.
But maybe the $95 is for individual people, but if you have dependents,
Nope. It's going to be more than that. And that's the thing that's really, you know,
well,
people don't see it.
It's going to be a yearly fee.
Once they see it, it's going to piss a whole bunch of people off.
Right.
So it's
going to be enforced by the IRS. It's going to be enforced by the IRS.
So if you don't pay it, guess what?
Yeah.
They're going to come and take your house.
Well, but what I was told is that the IRS will not put liens on property if you don't pay the health care tax. What they'll do is if you get a tax refund, they'll take the money out of the tax refund.
Yeah, but what if you got to pay?
Huh?
What if you
have
to pay your own money?
Well, if you have to pay, then what the IRS does is they fine you. You have to pay a government fine if you don't pay that health care tax.
Yeah, I can see that happening now. What's getting ready to happen is all hell's going to break loose. When they start talking about taking people's tax refunds and giving people the penalty and all the rest of that stuff, no. And so that's the problem they're going to run into. People will get pissed, people will revolt, and they will turn on this thing in a heartbeat. especially those people that are kind of like me, that are saying, I don't want it, okay, and they're going to make you pay for it anyway. No, that's never in the history of the United States have they ever done that.
Well, that's what the individual mandates. The reason why they did it that way, because the government created a giant insurance pool of people that were healthy and who weren't buying insurance. They're going to make them buy insurance now so that they can pay for the people who aren't healthy who don't have insurance.
Anything else?
That's all. All right, thank you.
Then why should I do that? Why should I have to pay for somebody else's health care?
Well, that's the way the government wants to run it because they had over 30 million people who were uninsured.
But that's their business. You see what I'm saying?
And then you had a lot of people who couldn't get insurance because they had a pre-existing condition.
Right. Well, you could have fixed that without making a mandate.
Well, you know what? Can I jump in for a second? The other thing there are people who have insurance but don't have insurance. I'll give you an example. I think it was last week on the show, Jeff mentioned that he had a $3,500 deductible, and someone else mentioned they had a $5,000 deductible. Well, if you have a $5,000 deductible, you don't have any insurance because it's unlikely you're going to use up that much money in a year for your insurance to kick in. And if you have $3,500 deductible, you don't have a lot of insurance at all.
Well,
but you can actually have insurance and not have it.
Well, here's the thing that I'm looking at. You know, my brother, he's got a $5,000 deductible.
Uh-huh.
And that was eaten up with one car accident.
Okay, well that was with one car accident. But typically speaking, unless you have something catastrophic happen, that's not going to be touched.
Well, actually, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. But if you're young, no. But if you're an older person, yeah, you can bite into that real quick.
Well, yeah, you can, but most people don't have $5,000 to pay out for their medical expenses. That's the problem. Most people who have $5,000 deductible do not have $5,000 to pay out for their expenses. I can tell you just from reality where I've had people who've come to me with insurance and they have $5,000 deductibles. I didn't realize until the end, and I ended up getting nothing. Because they had a $5,000 deductible. They didn't pay me not one dime. Am I still there?
Okay. No, you're here.
Yeah, the only thing I can tell you is it's going to be interesting, and I think on some level it's going to be a mess.
It is going to be a mess. I mean, I went to my doctor yesterday, and she was saying that there could have been another way for them to do this and gotten a better result. But now what's going to happen is when that thing kicks in, a lot of people don't realize what has happened. So it's going to be a mess.
I agree with that because people are hung up on this thing. We go ahead and free health care. Ain't nothing free.
Well, that's part of the big insurance company that donated to Barack Obama's campaign back in 2008. That's part of, you know, of them getting what they wanted. So I talk about this in your show all the time, on Tracy's show. Look, Obama is a corporation.
What?
And the thing is, all presidents have been a corporation for a while now. And what the American public have to do is start treating them like a corporation, and specifically blacks. Until you get, like I said, campaign reform, then you will start seeing some dramatic changes that will benefit the American people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What?
You guys are being good on there or what? Jeez, oh, man, is it quiet.
Oh, we've been real good. We've been real good.
I see. Dr. Hill, what did you do? You must have told them what you doing there. You got everybody in there quiet. What in the world do you have that I can't get done?
Not nothing. I didn't do a thing. Just my aura.
But it is. Healthcare is. I don't think we really understand how it's going to affect the healthcare in America. No, we don't. Doc, I got to get with you because I got to talk to you about some things when it comes to healthcare and see if you can come on and have a conversation with me. Can you? You got a 2% with the sequestration. You got a 2% cut in your Medicaid and your Medicare, didn't you?
Well, you know, that only affected Medicare, and in essence, I don't get much money from Medicare, so it didn't affect me at all.
Medicare seniors?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But I'm an OBGYN, most of my patients tend to be younger. Now, that being said, I do have a sizable number of healthy individuals who are younger who are on Medicare. So I guess on some of it's affecting me too.
Yeah, because I mean, I heard it was
bad.
I heard it was a 2% across the board. So your doctors they said it just happened overnight.
Yeah, like I said, but in my case, I would say Medicare is probably maybe less than 5% of what I get in reimbursement comes from Medicare. So it's not going to hit me hard as, let's say, someone who's an internist or, let's say, a general surgeon who may operate on a lot of older people.
It hit them pretty hard.
2% can be a nice little piece of change.
Yes, it can.
Trust me, it can be. I can speak from experience. I know there's a company that does my billing, and they lowered my rate 1 percentage point, and that made a heck of a difference in money I saved. So 2% can make a difference.
I would say so.
When you're talking about small margins, 2% makes a heck of a difference.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a 2% raise, everybody, they fight for that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
518, your mic is on.
Chase, I'm still trying to figure out the people that you want to educate are not smart enough to understand 2% of a sequester or even who the president of the United States are.
No.
They ride around and they listen to music called my B and my F and all this stuff. Tracy, you understand how upset I am about that.
Rick, your daughter's listening to it too.
Trace.
Yes?
That bothers me.
I know. It bothers me too. But then the question is, they took this conversation started at the beginning of the show about a Pepsi commercial, and I want a singer. And he said, Mammy, and a Mountain Dew commercial, who they had a goat and some stereotypes and a rapist. And
he wasn't a rapist. He was
the goat raped.
He beat her because he wouldn't give her any more Mountain Dew.
I thought that he raped her.
I did too, but
he beat her. He beat the girl because the lineup had a bunch of black men. And so they said that was the most racist commercial ever. But it's not. It couldn't have been because it was the mammy that was in the cartoon because I want a singer. So now you call me, Rick, at the end of the evening, and we're almost done for the week. And we're going to go back to the same thing because I said earlier, have you listened to the lyrics of the song that they put out? So what's really racist here?
Tracy, it's not racist. All I'm saying is they deserve the treatment that they get. That's all I'm saying. I love them dearly. I love them dearly. I do. And out of love, I can say that for them. I truly can say that.
But is it not killing the race with them actually having that? Is it not burning cells in their mind?
Tracy, I don't know. To all of my prejudiced white brethren, unfortunately, you happen to hear me talk about, I have to address you guys. You're out there. So all of my prejudice, right, brethren, I have to tell you, you got me at the wrong day because now I have a beef with my black brethren. And you guys don't understand.
Go ahead, Chicago.
I'm an artist. And the thing is that
you can't blame the artistic person for putting out the stuff, because 9 times out of 10, they're not the owner of the distributing company. So that means that if they're black and they're putting out the writing the material, someone has to make the decision to put this stuff out on TV, to distribute it, and 9 times out of 10, the people that own a distributing company are not black. Now, this is where I look at it differently. Black folks need to be owning those distributing companies and distributing their own material and raking in that money. But someone of a race is getting that money that you are writing, majority of it, and you getting pennies on a dollar.
And your point is?
But they have me
conditioned to believe that I should not be a business owner, that I should be a Obama phone user.
Well,
and as long as I'm an Obama phone user, I don't qualify to be a business owner.
Okay, cool.
Well, because your consumer dollars keep other races of people with a lot of money in their pockets, so they don't have to touch either the hedge fund money, and they can keep that money for their kids and their kids' kids. So
but
your money is being spent for their vacations, other races of people vacations, and keep extra money in their pocket. So
but who's fault is that?
It gets back to economics. Until your black people get together cohesively and can start marketing and controlling these black markets, then you'll start seeing a difference in
Chicago.
Okay, Chicago, I can't believe you said that. Listen, that's not art, the crap that they're putting out today. Now, let's just call it what it is. It's not art. It's not artistic. It has no humane value to it at all. So we can't blame the distributors for putting the stuff out when it's the individual writing the lyrics. I don't care
who you are as a distributor.
Of course, you don't make money.
No. I agree with you. I think some of the stuff is bad. But the people that make the decisions that are in those companies, that own those companies, put it out to the masses of people. They don't have to do it.
But we don't have to buy it either.
Wait. They can shut my mouth up. They can shut other artists' mouths up and not distribute them and put them out. So why are you putting that out?
But the question is, see, I as an adult, you know, I say this often. I'm not buying a lot of stuff for my kids. My kids can't wear everything. They can't listen to everything, and I'm going to take control over what I buy. I don't go to Wendy's because they had sliding on a car one day, and I got offended by it because I didn't see what it had to do with selling a burger. What do cars, burgers, and a naked woman sliding all over a car have to do with me eating a burger? I took offense with it. I don't spend my money there. It's the same thing with that kind of music. The question is, why do we allow it? And that goes back to that.
Tracy, all I want to know is what idiot decides to write lyrics about I'm going F your B and don't F my friend because I F your B.
The same one that came out with the song, who wrote Jake, the one that the Beyonce did that I'm a the bitches.
Oh,
you got Beyonce who just slid across the football field for the Super Bowl. And she gonna now get up and talk about my bitches. You got, you know, Jay-Z talking about I got a lot of troubles, but a B ain't one. You got all this kind of crazy stuff that we're buying, and we say something, we celebrate them, and we think the president's wife said if she could be anyone else she admires, she would be Beyonce.
She wants the kids to be like Beyonce.
And do you understand that?
Yeah. That was a short comment for her to make, because Beyonce is an entertainer.
No, it's Beyonce an entertainer. Beyonce, I just don't think of her as a role model going anywhere.
No,
no,
and she's about as smart as a box of rocks.
So
Beyonce is a part of today's model, and she's selling sex. She's not selling music. She's not selling dancing. She's not selling songwriting.
Rick, do you have girls?
She's selling sex.
Rick, do you
have
girls? Do you want your daughters to grow up and be like Beyonce?
Hell no.
So why in the world would the most powerful president the most powerful man in the whole world, his wife say that he wants his girls to grow to be like Beyonce. Come on now.
For the same reason For the same reason he would call a guy out of the NBA that says, I like to screw men or get screwed by men, and tell him, that's a courageous act, young man. I'm proud of you. The same idiotic mindset is in the president that's in his wife. Sorry to say that, everybody.
Hey, we're back. We'll see you guys on tomorrow. No. See you on Monday.
Monday.
I'll see you on Monday.
There's something new going on a Saturday show.
7-9-4-5-5-2-2. I want to thank you for all the calls. Thank you for all the conversation. Hope you have a good day and have a great weekend. God bless you. Be safe, and we'll see you then.
Stepping on my